They said nobody would sign up. They were wrong about that. They said it would be unaffordable for the country. They were wrong about that.
You had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in. It made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money. It would not have passed. Okay, just like the people, lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
No one has to keep their private insurance. They can buy into this plan. And they can buy into it with a $1,000 deductible and never have to pay more than 8.5% of their income when they do it. And if they don't have any money, they'll get in free. So this idea is a bunch of malarkey.
The technical issues plaguing the Obamacare website rollout are only part of the problem. Many who managed to navigate the system, gotten quotes, plan to sign up, are now saying no thank you. They're finding the Affordable Care Act is unaffordable, at least for them.
Their health care company has informed them their current plan will cease in the next year because it doesn't comply with the Affordable Health Care Act. She needs to find a new plan. So Christy, a part-time teacher, and her husband, who owns a video company, went online. And after a week of trying, finally figured out just what kind of insurance she could get under the Affordable Care Act. And for her, it seems unaffordable.
All that really truly is a tapeworm on the economic system. I mean, it is eating up, instead of $170 per person in 1960, when we actually thought we were doing pretty well in this arena, to over $10,000 per person. Just think of that, $10,000 per person, you know, family of four, on balance, $40,000 of GDP going to... just one aspect of their lives.
More than a decade before the Affordable Care Act's disastrous consequences became undeniable, Alex Jones, Michael Snyder, and Mike Adams repeatedly warned that Obamacare was deliberately engineered not to fix health care, but to break the private insurance market and force America into a government-run single-payer system.
It will actually reduce the deficit by $4 trillion over the long term. Reducing the waste and inefficiency in Medicare and Medicaid will pay for most of this plan. It will slow the growth of healthcare costs for our families, our businesses, and our government. There will be a provision in this plan that requires us to come forward with more spending cuts if the savings we promised don't materialize.
They documented Obama's serial abandonment of the public option, his knowingly false promises that Americans could keep their plans and doctors.
If you've got health care already, then you can keep your plan if you are satisfied with it.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
I intend to keep this promise. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
If you like your plan and your doctor, you can keep them.
You'll be able to keep your health care plan.
And the law's built-in mechanisms, mandates, subsidies, and regulatory overreach that would inevitably drive premiums higher, cancel existing coverage, and create complete chaos.
We did fail to bring down the cost of health care.
But what do you say to people who say they don't want to pay for the undocumented?
Okay, let me tell you why we're doing it first, and then I'll answer that.
Okay.
Everyone should have a right to health care. Here's the idea. Everyone should have a right to health care.
Health care costs up over 80%, millions of plan cancellations.
Obamacare is a prescription for failure. The nation's second largest health insurer just pulled out. Anthem ended its agreement in Indiana and Wisconsin for next year because it just can't manage the cost of sick patients signing up for Obamacare.
Botched exchanges costing billions and persistent coverage gaps that never approach the promised universality.
You have been the single greatest threat to my family in the entire world. You are the reason I stay up at night.
After 15 years of soaring premiums, employer hour cutting, crony contractor windfalls, and the quiet death of the public option, maybe now Congress is listening. Republican representative from Idaho, Russ Fulcher, has become one of the first sitting congressmen to state this original critique plainly and on the congressional record.
Affordable Care Act, in my opinion, was never designed to be affordable, and it was never designed to maximize care. It was designed to break the system so that government would need to be a single provider, a single payer. And I think that's played out. We just saw some data last week that healthcare costs has increased over 80% on average just since the Affordable Care Act got put into place.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning. Welcome to the American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. A lot going on over here. Trying to keep you in touch with all of the very latest. So welcome on board. Let's catch you up on what happened throughout the weekend and on Friday, of course. We just actually got an alert that President Trump announced that he's going to be signing an executive order in regards to AI. We're learning the details, though. That's going to take us some time to do just that. But the announcement itself about the initial signing of the executive order that is supposed to advance us in the AI movement, the big push, President Trump really leading in on that one. But anyways, President Trump is going to sign that executive order later this week. We're also following a couple of other stories. The president, too, is also expected to be participating later today at 2 p.m. Eastern time in a roundtable with his cabinet members. It's in the cabinet room itself. So we'll be keeping our eye on that, of course, as it continues to develop. But a lot more happening here as well. We've been talking about the J6 pipe bomber story, and that's a big one. As many of you guys know, the FBI claims they've arrested the individual they assume is their suspect. And that individual allegedly has autism. He allegedly is someone who has been cooperating with law enforcement, but his family is denying all of that. And according to the corporate media, he's an election denier, which must mean that he is a Trump supporter. Now, his family coming out swinging on that one, saying, oh, no. He is not a Trump supporter. Not a Trump supporter. But they continue to push that narrative. And you knew it was going to be the narrative that was spun because CNN pushed it out instantly as some big breaking news story claiming that their anonymous source told them that during the FBI's interrogation of this suspect, that he admitted that he was a denier of the election, the 2020 election results. So it's fascinating to see as this all plays out, of course, because again, they love to spin that. Wouldn't make any sense. Brian Cole Jr. is the individual who's currently charged with putting down those pipe bombs. Now, whether you believe this or not, this is the perp. Media wants you to think that he was somehow, some way aligned with President Trump when it comes to denying the 2020 election results. By the way, there was a massive amount of Democrats who, too, did not believe the election results either, but they don't want you talking about that. They never do. I want to play clip one for you because CNN was really unhinged when they learned that the suspect, because they reported that the suspect, if you remember Jake Tapper, that the suspect was white. When they learned that he wasn't white, well, that's when they just got so upset and so unhinged because it didn't fit their narrative. Take a listen.
No, maybe he put a bomb at the DNC because he believed the Democrats stole the election because Republicans and conspiracy theorists pushed that. And he put the bomb at the RNC because the vice president who was about to be sworn in was going to ride by that area. There are many scenarios that the prosecution will have to play out this case. But I'm going to say the thing out loud that I think everyone is not saying and is actually surprised and why I think Jeanine Pirro is actually saying it. I think the fact that this man is a black man is surprising to people. I think people thought this was going to be a white man that did this. They were going to be able to say he was a part of the progressive left. And the fact that it's a black man that is saying, I too was susceptible to conspiracy theorists that the president and conservative podcasts were pushing that this election was stolen is a fact that they were not expecting. And now everyone is on their heels and they're trying to spin it. And I think that might be also why you think, let's not believe his actual story right now.
Like
he's trying to get
it's
both
certainly
sides.
Possible.
I mean, so.
Now, as you hear there, folks, they're not very happy that this isn't a white person. Oh, the conspiracy theorists. The conspiracy theorists. Now, again, I actually just don't even know what to make of any of this anymore. I haven't seen enough concrete evidence to prove that that is the actual suspect behind the J6 pipe bomber narrative. So I'm not going to try to sell you on it. I'll tell you what they're saying. But over here, I asked the questions. What led you to this person? How would you know to go through the financial records of him? How would you know to pin down his cell phone records? And they told me that there's evidence that's going to come out, but I still haven't seen anything. You see, the FBI wants to sell us on this as if it's a massive victory. I believe that everyone deserves their day in court, clearly. And I truly don't even think they could be able to land a conviction on this man. In front of a DC jury, you think what you have so far is going to land a conviction? No, of course not. You haven't even convinced me, and I'm biased. So here we are right now dealing with the fact that we have an FBI that is trying to sell us on the fact that this 30-year-old man somehow, some way, was such a hater of the political movement going on around 2020 where he just decided to lay down two pipe bombs outside the DNC and the RNC. I'm not biting it for this moment right now. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is 100% the suspect. I'm not going to sell you on a different person because I don't know who else would have done this. But I will tell you that none of this makes sense. None of this makes sense. And it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to look at the criminal complaint that was filed in court and say, what is this? The timeline, I want to know when all this evidence came about, when they started specifically tunneling in on this one guy. Because I want to remind you folks, when the Blaze reported their female suspect, the person that they assumed was the J6 pipe bomber, I reached out to several sources who told me that there was another suspect that was already named privately in the last FBI briefing that they received. That was weeks ago. So now all of a sudden they've made this arrest. Again, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But they're still trying to sell you on it. They haven't exactly sold me yet. And obviously over at CNN, they were so heartbroken to learn that the person at the FBI who they have, obviously they're going to defend the FBI, is not the white supremacist that they had in mind. What an unfortunate turn of events for CNN. All right, I want to turn to an update regarding James Comey. As many of you guys know, the charges against him were dismissed. The former FBI director had those charges dismissed, but the DOJ claimed that they're going to appeal it and try to fight that one off. It's been interesting to sit back and watch, but again, the DOJ just keeps getting handed a bunch of losses. Let's talk about this latest update. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. ruled that certain pieces of evidence linked to an ally of James Comey is off limits temporarily. It's an effort for the prosecutors to kind of push back on having those charges dismissed. Again, I believe they're referring to an email here. I could just scroll up without the pop-ups, the facts. Richmond, a law professor and a former attorney for Comey, has filed a lawsuit arguing that prosecutors violated his Fourth Amendment rights by seizing material from electronic devices during investigations in 2019 and 2020. Richmond is likely to succeed on merit for his claims, apparently. That's what the judge wrote. So again, this is all in regards to how they obtained these internal communications. And likely, if he's an attorney, then yes, the DOJ would not be allowed to use that. Prosecutors have relied on the files to indict Comey. Gotta zoom in. On charges, the indictment accused Richmond, previously a special FBI employee, of communicating with reporters about investigations into the 2016 presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. So again, those are the latest updates in that. It's very, very likely this attorney will likely be able to come out as the big winner in that. Again, the DOJ just really sloppy in all of this. really sloppy in all of this. When it comes to the prosecution of James Comey, I just don't understand how this is even happening in the first place. This should have been a slam dunk case. But they've made so many missteps that it's pretty insane. Want to keep going through the headlines that you guys may have not seen over the weekend. There's several of them. I want to play clip two for you because the Treasury Secretary went off this weekend, and I want you to take a listen to this. Listen to clip two.
The president told you, though, this week to look into Somalis who, quote, ripped off that state for billions of dollars. He said they contribute nothing. What exactly are you investigating?
Well, Margaret, to be clear, the initial fraud that was discovered by the IRS, for which I'm the acting commissioner, is discovered by IRS Criminal Investigations Unit. This was not an endogenous thing that the state of Minnesota decided. We had to go in and clean up the mess for them, and this is part of the continued cleanup. A lot of money has been transferred from the individuals who committed this fraud, including those who donated to the government, governor, donated to Representative Omar, donated to A.G. Ellison, but they've been transferred to something called MBSs.
Mortgage-backed security? Transferred to what?
These are money, Bureau Services, and they are wire transfer organizations that are outside the regulated banking system, and that money has gone overseas. And we are tracking that both to the Middle East and to Somalia to see what the uses of that have been.
Okay. But you have no evidence of that money being used to fuel terrorism is what some conservative writers are alleging.
That's why it's an investigation. We started it last week. We'll see where it goes. But I can tell you that, you know, it's terrible. You know, the Representative Omar tried to downplay it, said, it was very tough to know how this money should be used. Yeah. You know, she was gaslighting the American people.
Well, we'll talk to her.
Yeah. But, you know, when you come to this country, you got to learn which side of the road to drive on. You got to learn to stop at stop signs, and you got to learn not to defraud the American people.
Yeah. Apparently that's like something that's like a special request. Oh, please don't defraud the American people. Please don't. Folks, if you come to this country and you defraud the American people, you should be tossed out like Ilhan Omar. I don't know why we continue to talk about this. We know she committed fraud. How many times do we need to see this? The President of the United States even pointing it out, but no one's denaturalizing her and tossing her out of this country. I'm so fed up with talking about this woman. I really, really am. It's because we have a bunch of weak losers who continue to run these departments and they're too afraid to go after her. She committed fraud to get into this country. We know this. We have the marriage certificate to prove just that. So why are we continuing to sit back and allow this to happen in the first place? Now we're going to play a couple more clips of her, of course, being a scumbag and continuing to gaslight the American people, thinking that the Somalian people aren't corrupt fraudsters who hate this country and only coming here to destroy it. They don't contribute anything. They can sit there and tell you that they contribute to the economy. They pay a couple $1 million in taxes a year. They don't. They don't. When you break it all down, like Matt Walsh did, it's a couple of $100 each person. They are leeches. They hate this country. They do not want to assimilate to this country. They do not agree with our Western values. That's why they're here, though. That's why they've imported them in by the masses. And if you dare speak out about it, you're a racist. We're over that. The narrative is gone. It's over. Ilhan Omar, though, when she's grilled on the fact that Somalians are fraudsters, she continues to say, well, she continues to deny it. And then she continues to go on by saying, oh, well, we also pay taxes. Take a listen to clip three, because she shortly came on right after the Treasury Secretary did, and this was her rebuttal.
Of the 87 people charged, all but 8 are of Somali descent, and that has added to the spotlight being put specifically on your community. Why do you think this fraud was allowed to get so widespread?
Well, I want to say, you know, this also has an impact on Somalis because we are also taxpayers in Minnesota. We also could have benefited from the program and the money that was stolen. And so it's been really frustrating for people to not acknowledge the fact that we're, you know, we're also, as Minnesotans, as taxpayers, really upset and angry about the fraud that has occurred.
It's funny, right? Because when we went through it last week and we broke down how much these Somalians actually pay in taxes, it's like $800 each person, which is 10 times less than the average person who lives in that area has to pay in taxes. They are not contributing equally. They are leeches to the system, and they are bankrupting this country if we continue to allow them to come here by the masses. I mean, that's the reality, folks. There's no other way to look at it. There's no other way to look at it. And then when they come here, they are just nasty, vile people. Some of them, not all, of course. This video went viral, and I want to hold back on the context of it because it sounds like, according to reports, New York Post saying that this was a Somalian couple that was harassing a woman in Wisconsin who worked at a Cinnabon. Ultimately, this woman was apparently just like doing her thing, and this couple started harassing her about not wearing a hijab. It's pretty insane. Listen to clip five and the conversation that goes on between both the couple and the employee.
Sexualizing your body makes you a better person.
Are you recording?
I'm gonna record you. Yes.
Do you want me to throw water on you?
I am racist.
So mm-hmm. idiot for
and
real.
You are an idiot.
No,
I am
not.
Racist, and mm-hmm. I'll say that to the whole entire world. Don't be disrespectful.
You ruined your life, by the way.
Oh, talking Bye. About you talk about respect. You talk about respect. You are fired from this place, man. You're not gonna be working here. Sakwa, look how you. Talking about ugliness?
Did I stutter?
You're the ugliest person I ever seen in my life.
Good.
No, we're not.
Because you know damn well you're
That's
fucking
respect.
Evil.
That's fucks. Respect. Keep squeezing that caramel, bitch. Get the fuck
right
out of here.
You. That was meant for you.
All right, obviously that is probably a longer conversation that they quickly got a little limited time window on, but the reality of it is enough is enough. People have had enough in this country. They're not going to sit here and allow immigrants to come to our country, both legal and illegally, and disrespect us on our own soil. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Now, thankfully, that woman has raised thousands and thousands of dollars. Gifts and go, I think it was like around $100,000. Again, I don't care. I don't care anymore. We've had enough of all of this. We've had enough of these people coming to our country telling her what to wear. This is our country. If your country was so great, why aren't you there anymore? They never want to say that to you. They never want to talk about the details as to why they are here now. They're not here for the love of country. They are not here because they want to be participants in the American dream. It is a takeover. And if you're not compliant, they'll put a camera in your face and call you all these mean, nasty names. And that's what's going on. So it's good that we see people pushing back on this. Average Americans pushing back on this. Ilhan Omar, though, was very limited on her vocabulary. Can't really detail specifically why this is an issue, why the American people have become so infuriated by Somalians who have came to our country illegally and illegally. It's worth noting. So instead of being able to carry an actual conversation, in clip four, she goes after Stephen Miller. Take a listen.
I want to ask you something else that the architect of the president's immigration policy, Stephen Miller, said. On Thanksgiving Day, he posted, "No magic transformation occurs when failed states cross borders. At scale, migrants and their descendants recreate the conditions and terrors of the broken homelands." What do you make of this argument of failure to assimilate and sort of ruining America? How do you understand this?
I mean, when I think about Stephen Miller and his white supremacist rhetoric, it reminds me of the way the Nazis described Jewish people in Germany. And, you know, as we know, there have been many immigrants who've tried to come to the United States who've turned back, one of them being Jewish immigrants. We know the way that people were described who were coming from Ireland. Irish immigrants. We know the way in which people were described back then when they were Italian immigrants. And to me, you know, we're yes, of course, ethnically Somali. We are in this country as Americans.
Yeah.
We are citizens. We are productive part of this nation, and we will continue to be.
Congresswoman Omar, thank you for your time today.
What an absolute troll that woman is. They are not productive. They do not contribute. Why don't these reporters ever push back? Why not ask her for the list, the long list of Somalian contributions to this great country? Why not? Why not? And this is the same woman who said it was the fabric, or they are the fabric of this great country. You should at least have a top 10 contributions that your people have been able to do. There's nothing. They've got nothing. They continuously have absolutely nothing. And it's infuriating. It truly, truly is infuriating. But it's not surprising. This is what's going on throughout our country all the time, and we're just expected just to allow it to happen. The reporters don't even push back when they make these ridiculous comments. Tell us a little bit more, Ilhan. Give us a list. Top three contributions. Top three. They've got nothing. They've got nothing. I don't even know of a single company that's ran by a CEO that's Somalian. Do you? I can't think of anyone besides these leeches that are politicians that are Somalian. And so again, we continue to sit here and sit back and watch all of this unfold. But again, I've had enough of this. I've absolutely had enough of this. It is absolutely ridiculous that this is what's going on right now in this country. That we have just allowed these people to come in, take over, and we're just supposed to allow it. No pushback from any of the reporters. God forbid you're called a racist. The New York Post just released a new story regarding the National Guard shooting suspect, the Afghan migrant, who was brought here, of course, by the Biden regime. They also looped it into another prior arrest of another Afghan who was brought in. They're claiming that these two individuals, I'm trying to get the other suspect's name, but I'm not saying it right now as I'm skimming through this. These two individuals who were suddenly brought back onto the U.S. soil had a lapse in vetting and monitoring. It is not immediately known if they had any interaction while they were stationed on the base. Now, again, what base was it? Let me pull it up. There was a better, more detailed story on this. Yeah, this isn't the full story. The Afghan man accused of shooting the two National Guards member in D.C. shared a close military connection to a countryman busted a day earlier in Texas and accused of making suicide bomb threats, the Post can reveal. So this is a connection that these two suspects had. We could pull that up for you guys on the screen, the article, the full article, because that article was not the full one. Senior Trump administration members immediately disclosed details about the suspect that was arrested for shooting that guardsman. We actually have that one. It's in the rundown, guys. So apparently these two had a connection, that these two were allegedly working together on the same base, but may have not known each other. It's not confirmed yet in this report as of right now. We're going to continue to follow the story and get more for you guys in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. More on the way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in. In people who can't make it, it can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today on this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Monday morning. I want to get to this first because, well, Trump just posted about it. Let's go to clip six, because MTG actually just sat down with 60 Minutes and did an interview with them. And she was kind of detailing her beef with obviously President Trump and why she's no longer going to be working in Congress anymore. Take a listen.
It wasn't a decision that I came to lightly, but it was a very important decision for myself and also for my family.
It was sudden.
It was sudden, but a lot of things changed. I stood for women who were raped when they were 14 years old. And the president that I fought for 5 years called me a traitor for that. And so that changed the landscape of things.
So I'm going to ask you straight out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you surrender? Did Donald Trump run you out of town?
No, not at all. Actually, Leslie, it's more like this. Is I said in my statement, I will be no one's battered wife, and I meant it. And I won't allow the system to abuse me anymore.
You really feel abused. You know, he did come after you pretty hard. He called you a lunatic, I'm quoting. He said all she does is complain, complain, complain in caps, and then he called you a traitor. So he hit you, whacked you.
Yes, he did this in the same time span where President Trump brought in the al-Qaeda leader that was wanted by the U.S. government, who is now the president of Syria. Then within a week, he brought in the crown prince, MBS, who murdered an American journalist. And then he brought in the newly elected Democrat socialist mayor of New York. That was the time span that he called me a traitor.
She has a point there. She has a point there. I mean, he did bring in that al-Qaeda terrorist. Obviously, that's the so-called leader of Syria. Then she's talking about the Saudis as well, who obviously killed the journalists. And, you know, Zohran Mahdani, she continues to go out there, or he continues to go out there and, you know, bash Zohran Mahdani, but then welcomed him to the Oval Office. Now, Trump just posted this on Truth Social, so it's worth noting that he saw the 60-minute interview, wasn't very happy with Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Before I go into what he says here, let me just give you a heads up. I don't think this is okay. I don't think it's okay. I don't want to see MTG making, you know, her legacy just kind of become going around the corporate media world. And I also don't want to see the president going after her like this. It's divisive. It's intentionally divisive. And he is just using it. And the left continues to poke and poke and poke. And he just falls for it. He refers to MTG as not America First or MAGA, because no one could have changed her views so fast. They're a very dumb person. Yeah, I mean, he's just not being very polite to her. He's not being very polite to her. The name calling needs to end. It's just so disgusting. It really, really is disgusting. She sort of reminds me of a rotten apple. I mean, this is absolute garbage. You see, you're sitting here and you're trying to fight back the deep state, obviously. One would hope. And then you're going after your own. Who cares what she said in the 60-minute interview? It wasn't bombshell. It wasn't breaking news. You did do everything she just accused you of. So why are we going here and continuously poking at her and trying their best or trying your best to attack her? I just don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want to see MTG doing this media campaign like so many people who get brushed the wrong way by President Trump do. They go out there and they're nasty and they, you know, get very aggressive about President Trump. Right now, her tone is still professional. But she's done so many great things. I don't want this to be the focus. And for the President of the United States to continuously go out there and to attack her, Marjorie Traitor Brown, it's just, come on, dude. You could disagree with people, but this is just disgusting. She wasn't wrong for her stance with Epstein. The American people held you to that commitment. You laid out that own commitment yourself. It's just, it's insane to me. It's insane to me. We don't need the divisiveness. We don't need to do this. You need to lay out and continue to do what the American people elect you to do. And it's not to go after MTG. Same thing for Marjorie Taylor Greene, great congresswoman from Georgia. Got a couple of weeks left. Make it productive. Do something great. I don't want to see all these corporate media hits where we're bashing each other. We're going out there talking junk. If you're going to leave at the top of your game and don't go bashing people. We don't need this. We don't need this. I want to play clip 18 for you. This happened actually just a couple of hours ago in the UK. As many of you guys know, they are going after people for free speech. If they don't like what you say, they go after you. They throw you in prison for months, years, whatever it is that they could do. You can't say anything offensive or else they go after you. Well, an ex-footballer, Joey Barton, apparently posted some very, very cruel tweets. And so he's found guilty on 6 counts of sending a grossly offensive electronic communication with the intent to cause distress or anxiety.
So he was just sentenced to 6 months. 6 months in prison. Take a listen, and if you have the visual capabilities, take a look at the judge and listen to what he said prior to his sentencing.
Given the gravity, persistence, and impact of this offending, I have no doubt that neither a fine alone nor a community order can be justified, and that the custody threshold is crossed. There will be concurrent terms of imprisonment for each of these associated offences, the sentences for each reflecting your overall offending and recognising the principle of totality. However, applying the imposition guideline and carrying out the required balancing exercise, I'm satisfied that it's not necessary for those custodial terms to be served immediately. In light of the steps you have taken, I am persuaded that there is some prospect of rehabilitation, that an immediate custodial sentence is not required to protect either the public or the victims, and that a suspended sentence order may itself operate as a deterrent against any future offending by you. For each of these offences, I impose a suspended sentence order of 18 months' duration. On counts 2 and 4, the racially aggravated offences, there will be custodial terms of 6 months, and on counts 6, 8, 9, and 10, custodial terms of 4 months, all such terms to run concurrently, and all suspended for a period of 18 months. If during that 18-month period you commit any further offence, whether or not of the same type, you will be brought back before the court, and it is likely that you will be required to serve some or all of that total 6-month period. That, of course, is not an end of the matter. For the next 12 months, you will be subject to a rehabilitation activity requirement of up to 20 days, and you are required to complete 200 hours of unpaid work in the community.
Imagine having to take a guy like that, dressed like that, with that stupid wig on his head seriously. That's the guy who's sentencing you to prison time. That's the guy. By the way, the UK, we all know, doesn't have free speech. It's non-existent. You can't sit there and joke cruelly on social media without getting arrested and thrown in prison for 6 months like this guy. Apparently, they're saying that it wasn't politically prosecuted, that in fact, this is something that was just very, very offensive that they had to go after him. I went looking. He accuses someone of possibly being a pedophile in one of his posts. Doesn't really seem like it's anything super, super insane. He superimposed the woman's face on a photograph of the serial murderers. And I guess he was talking about individuals who also play within the football industry as well. He asked one of the commentators, another message allegedly suggested Vine had a sexual interest in children. That's one of the individuals. Jeremy Vine is the individual's name. After the broadcaster posted a question related to the post about football commentators asking whether Barton is the individual had a brain injury. Again, this is what they're doing in the UK. I mean, you could say something cruel, they deem as cruel, and they're throwing you in prison for 6 months. For 6 months. Remember, there was that story about that woman who apparently was assaulted by a man who she referred to as the F word. Many of you know it. And she was also sent to prison. So the UK, bunch of garbage human beings who continue to justify this behavior, continue to justify sending people away to prison for just saying things that you deem as cruel. And then they always say, oh, it's not free speech. It's not free speech. These people are garbage. They're such garbage human beings. But this is what's going on in this country right now, or the UK, I should say specifically. We have free speech here. It's obviously not exactly free speech. I use the F word today on Twitter, and people are warning me that they're going to censor me too, because that's what they do these days. They actually go after people. They actually go after people on Twitter, and they'll censor you on Twitter for hateful conduct. I mean, it's so crazy to me. I wouldn't even normally use that word, because I'm not one who likes to use curses too often, but Since we're throwing people in prison, you might as well go all in. You might as well go all in at this point. I want to turn to a couple of other great stories that I want to make sure your attention is focused on these days. Let's talk about this. There's this Reuters report, and I'm looking into this, of course, as I'm sure many of you guys also likely are, because it's concerning. It just depends on who's running the DOJ for this one, but U.S. Attorney Pam Bondi on Thursday ordered federal law enforcement to step up investigations into the anti-fascist Antifa member groups and similar extremist groups. Yes, okay, that works. That works. Obviously, if the President of the United States designated them as a terrorist organization, then yes. But what does the other extremist group mean? We were just on the other side of all of this, folks. And you remember when they called us extremists? So it just depends on who the administration is. And that's why I want to be very particular in this. The memo, which was sent to prosecutors and federal law enforcement agencies, calls on the DOJ to prioritize investigating and prosecuting acts of domestic terrorism, including potential tax crimes involving extremist groups who defrauded the IRS. This sounds so much like Tea Party. I don't know how I feel about this because it's always a different administration, so it depends on the narrative, right? Like, we know that there's a lot of far left-wing groups that are violent and they are destroying or trying to destroy our country. And so it's fair to say that those who are actually going through with committing acts of violence, that they should be looked at. But the IRS angle to all of it screams Barack Obama. And again, I get it, right? Because they did this to us. But I was critical when they were doing it to groups like the Tea Party. So do we sit back and allow it to happen? I mean, again, it's up to the government that's in charge, their discretion. Their discretion. Now, we know that these far left groups are terrorists. I'm not going to sit here and deny that or defend them. But when it comes to the term, when they just say extremist groups, that has me on edge because at one point we were all considered extremists. So what changes here? I'd like specific names of these groups. Not this vague kind of cast you're throwing out there. The FBI and Joint Terrorism Task will also be asked to investigate incidences over the past 5 years that may have involved acts of domestic terrorism, from doxing law enforcement to targeting Supreme Court justices, according to the memo. After the FBI compiles a list of possible groups that could possibly have committed these alleged acts of domestic terrorism, the agency is required to develop new strategies similar to those used to counter violence and organized crime. RICO, that sounds like to me. The memo also calls on the department's grant-making offices to prioritize awarding funds to states as well so they could protect against domestic terrorism. So again, it's all really interesting to see. This is Reuters reporting this. They claim to have this internal memo. We have not yet seen it. But I can promise you this, whenever I hear those words, extremist groups, you know I'm on edge these days. Just depends who's occupying the White House. Because it could go either way. I don't know if you guys saw this tweet that just recently went up a couple of minutes ago, about an hour ago, actually. The DOJ is responding to those judges in the Eastern District of Virginia. They're going after them specifically, though, for being hostile to U.S. attorney Lindsay Holligan and her lineup of assistant U.S., obviously, attorneys as well, who help her out. Lindsay and our attorneys are simply doing their jobs, advocating for the Department of Justice positions while following guidance from the Office of Legal Counsel. Apparently, they also add that their reputations do not deserve to be questioned in court. Now, as many of us know, these judges obviously have not been respectful of Holligan. It's been called into question whether or not she has the background to be able to prosecute a lot of these cases. And so that has been the major one in all of this. But again, it's interesting to see the DOJ trying to defend Holligan as much as they can, but they really threw her out there. I have to say, they really threw her out there. Very limited resources, not enough DOJ support at the higher-ups. We're watching this Comey, as we detailed to you earlier in the show, this Comey case kind of fall apart. Obviously, Tish James isn't happening anymore. It's very obvious that that's dead. And then you see this, the judge ruling that this attorney, where they were trying to link his communications with Comey, that evidence cannot be used. Now, that could be temporary. It could be the new rule moving forward. But, I mean, these people are taking hit after hit after hit. I mean, who is in this office helping Holligan out? She can't be doing this on her own. And even if you're critical and say that she doesn't have the experience to be able to take on a matter like this, there should be people over there to help. You see, everything was rushed through. We told you about the statute of limitation being very, very close nearby. I told you that I thought that Pam Bondi was specifically running the clock out so she wouldn't have to take on this case. It seems like, with the lack of resources, that they are intentionally trying to sink this case completely. And so they obviously publicly have to keep things pretty well together, I'd say. And so that's why you're going to see a statement like that where they're trying to look like they're defending Holligan, but the reality of it is they've thrown her to the wolves. I don't think we have Todd Blanche doing what he should be doing. We repeatedly tell you that all the time. I continue to hear from sources that everything's just sitting on his desk, like a graveyard. Anything of importance goes to die on his desk. Even an individual who reached out to me to try to smooth things over, or somebody who was close with Blanche, who was working close by, saying, oh, your sources aren't wrong. There's just a lot on his desk. And we're seeing all these pardons that to me mean absolutely nothing, because we have patriots who are still sitting in prison cells right now in federal custody, Biden regime, political prisoners who have not yet been freed, while politicians who are accused of corruption, they seem to be a top priority. I don't know why that's the case, but that is. That is. So I would say that these people are full of it. I would say as we continue to sit back and watch what's been going on, I'm pretty enraged. Because again, they're not doing enough. I mean, I don't know how many times we could say this to you guys. You know, Todd Blanche has a graveyard going on right now on his desk where things just happen to fall there and nothing else happens afterwards. Nothing else happening afterwards. And although his office would try to dispute it, the reality is they can't. They can't. The excuse that there's an immense amount of things falling on his desk, but the top priority seems to be corrupt politicians. Tell me all I need to know. Who's being paid consulting fees these days? And if you're wondering why I asked that, I know that even under Joe Biden and other administrations, a lot of these people are paid consulting fees, people who have close contact with key members of the cabinet. And that's the reason why you see all these like shifts. People you forgot about, that they're getting pardons. It's very likely that they're all being consulting fees. And that's the reason why you're seeing all these random pardons, of course. I mean, that's what's probably happening in my best professional opinion. People like Brett Hankison still sitting right now in federal custody. In fact, he's in solitary confinement. Why? Because the Bureau of Prisons can't protect him. Bureau of Prisons run by the DOJ. Brett Hankison was one of the many officers that responded that day to the Breonna Taylor shooting. Taylor's boyfriend shooting first, hitting one of his colleagues in the leg. And Hankison returned fire. But because the Biden administration deemed that even though he didn't shoot Breonna, because he shot into a dark room where the bullets were originally coming from in the first place, that he violated her civil rights, and off he went to prison. This DOJ saying, no, he shouldn't go to prison, but they've done nothing to help him. I continuously reach out for follow-ups. Todd Blanche too busy to help, but don't worry, he'll help out any of your favorite corrupt politicians, even the Democrats. They're giving them pardons, of course. But not people who are literally going to be killed in prison. We know that Brett Hankison is receiving death threats because they just moved into solitary confinement. He's been there for weeks now. When Brett came forward and reported the fact that an individual, an inmate, came up to him and threatened him, Well, Brett was punished and he was shuffled off into solitary confinement. The DOJ, even though I followed up on this multiple times, will not do anything to save Brett. Even though they know, and they said openly in court that he doesn't deserve prison time, they still have not made that a top priority. But you'll get all these other BS pardons passed up. Corrupt politicians. Alleged. Although they're convicted. I know a lot of people tend to think that these are political hit jobs. But the real political hit jobs are the individual Americans, average Americans, who are sitting right now in federal custody. Not just that, too. It's the Governor Whitmer kidnapping hoax. Two of those are sitting right now in federal custody. That was something that I know Ed Martin was looking into, but then when Whitmer found out directly, she shut that down, telling local media that she actually spoke to President Trump and said that she does not want these two men released. So apparently it seems like President Trump listened to just that. We're just going to keep freeing those who probably deserve to go to prison. Remember when we were all in for the swamp? Remember when we said we're going to drain the swamp? And then all of a sudden, those who are accused of getting kickbacks, bribes, whatever it is, they're all getting pardons. They're all being freed. But not people who are being actually persecuted by the government. It's no surprise, folks. It's no surprise. Discouraging, but it's not a surprise. Every now and then I get a phone call from one of these three-letter agencies, and it's them trying to smooth things over. And I said specifically when someone tried to reach out to me from DOJ that this was a top priority for me, one of the many. There was like four things I named that needed to be corrected. Nothing's been done. They just think that you're going to be excited because they reach out to you, speak to you. It's an absolute disgusting thing that's going on right now in this country, and in Very little pushback. Because everyone around the president right now are yes people. Yes people. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com because, like we told you, we have that 12 days of Christmas sale going on right now. Today, we've got colostrum on sale. It's 40% off. That's right, 40% off. The sale's got about a couple more hours left in it. So head on over there and grab that. We also just added to our shop creatine gummies. Now listen, ladies especially, if you do not take creatine every day, you probably had no one tell you about this. This is actually something that you need in your daily vitamin lineup. You'll notice immediately the difference. You'll have more energy. If you're someone who works out quite often, your muscles won't be as sore as they always are when you hit the gym. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. I'm excited for the creatine gummies. Those are going to be great. Like everyone should be taking creatine. It is incredible for your both muscle health, brain health, and so much more. Also give you a boost of energy as well. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and buy it up before we run out over at thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way.
Quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I've fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well. Journal. We're getting ready to kick off the second hour of the program with a lot more dive into. We'll be taking your calls. That's the first thing I was going to tell you. So if you want to call, maybe a story we've covered thus far in the show that you want to elaborate a little bit on, give me a call right now, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We want to hear from you. We also have a great guest lineup coming your way in the third hour of the program. Viva Fry joining the program because I got a lot to ask him. Both of us were talking over the weekend on Friday, went on his show, and I'm not really buying the suspect that's been named in regards to the J6 pipe bomber. I know he isn't either. So I want to ask him about that. I also will have Mark Mitchell joining the show as well because President Trump's polling numbers, well, they're not doing too well. His approval numbers have shot down drastically, and they're going to get even lower than where they are right now. Over at Rasmussen Report. So I've got a lot of questions for Mark Mitchell. Obviously, not a lot of people happy with the president. It's been very obvious that these last few weeks have been America last. America last. He's pushing AI this morning. Not something that you truly want to go all in on. I know a lot of people are very hesitant about that. Obviously, having an Al-Qaeda terrorist also making his way to the Oval Office isn't something that's a selling point for most Americans, as well as his focus on going out there and trying his best to win over foreign countries rather than try to crunch down on affordability here in the United States. They're telling us inflation's down. Most people are at the supermarket. They don't see it. Yes, it might take a very long time before those prices actually start to reflect, but explain that people stop gaslighting them and saying that prices are down because you're not feeling that. And then housing prices are just still out of control. And everyone I've spoken to over at the White House, when I mentioned the housing prices, that is the reason why young people are pulling towards communists. People like Zohra Mamdani continue to target and say and talk about the affordability crisis in this country. They keep telling me that this White House wants nothing to do with helping bring down housing costs. I don't know how you win elections, how you head into the midterms by a group of people that won't do anything to help relieve the American people financially. You've been taking a beating since COVID, even prior to COVID. And sadly, we still have these so-called Republicans who just don't even want to talk about this stuff. Then it might affect those in older generations. But the reality of it is housing prices are out of control. And they have been for several years now. The president kind of turning away from all of this. I'll ask Mark Mitchell about that and how that plays into his polling numbers, because, I mean, he is sliding down the polling numbers. I think tomorrow's Rasmussen Report's numbers are going to show that his job approval rating is sliding into the 30% range. That's massive. That's massive. Because he was just at 50 just a couple of days ago. You can't sit here and keep telling the American people that they need to care about certain things that they really don't care about. Most Americans, the reason why we elected President Trump is because there was an affordability crisis in this country. And Democrats were one of the main people pushing for it and who caused it. But then the other side, you turn over to the other side and they're not doing much to help it. They're actually not doing anything. I'm not trying to oversell you on this. They're not doing anything. Americans are pissed off. They're fed up. They've had enough of this and they're looking for relief. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're getting it anytime soon. Again, I hate being the black pill, but folks, I'm out here to run cover for people. They aren't doing what they said they were going to do. When we come back, though, we're going to run through some of the immigration numbers because there's some good news. Tom Homan saying that they found thousands and thousands of these missing migrant children. Drops in the bucket, of course, but at least we're getting somewhere. You'll never guess where they were all found, of course. The Biden regime, I'm so fed up with calling these people out and there's no criminal charges. Stop showing me all the corruption and then not showing me the arrests. That's what's going on right now. Thousands of children went missing under the Biden administration, and no one's been arrested for it.
Folks, we've got more to dive into in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have our 12 days of Christmas sale going on right now. It's 40% off colostrum that we just recently got back in stock. Plus, we have those great creatine gummies, which we actually just introduced. Again, that's going to be a big one. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and get it before we run out. More on the way.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
To the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off the second hour of the show by taking your calls. So if you'd like to jump on with me, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I got to get like a little jingle for that. Got to figure that out. Maybe something Christmas themed. These days. Folks, if you want to talk about one of the news stories we've covered or maybe a story we haven't covered, that's the best number to do just that. All right. I want to talk about the thousands of children that went missing under the Biden regime. Sadly, and I hate doing this, but sadly, no one's been arrested yet. Thousands of children, over 400,000 was the last number that DHS threw at me when I asked them for the specific number. Children went missing when they were shuffled into our country by cartels. And then the Biden administration helped that out. They were shuffled into our country and then they went missing. Well, according to Tom Homan, the border czar, they have now officially found and located 62,000 of these missing children. Take a listen to the latest update that came from Homan yesterday.
I look at the numbers every day. On Friday, I looked at the numbers. There's over 62,000 children found by the Trump administration. Children that weren't even being looked for under the Biden administration. President Trump saved over 62,000 children's lives. Some of these children were in sex trafficking, we found them. Some were in forced labor. Some were being mistreated. I can't even discuss some of the mistreatment we found out about. President Trump, again, proves why he's the greatest president in my lifetime. Over 62,000 children rescued by President Trump. Again, children that were ignored and weren't being looked for under President Biden.
All right, now you want to hear that. You want to hear that thousands of children have been located. But folks, what you're just outlining, what he just outlined for you is the biggest human trafficking, I guess just human trafficking scheme that's ever happened in the American people's history, American country, our American history. Sorry, it's Monday mornings, but bear with me, folks. But this is the real frustrating part in all of this, right? Because they continue to tell you about all these numbers. They're throwing thousands at you. I know Tom Homan has given a number significantly higher than 400,000 when it comes to these missing children. 62,000 found? Great. Great. But what's going to come of it? Because several of them are dead. And Homan has outlined that previously as well. You see, the people over at DHS, the people within the Biden administration, they all knew what was happening. They were helping these sex traffickers, human traffickers, funnel children into this country for cheap labor, for sex trafficking, and other things as well. So you can continue to tell me all of these horrific things that were done in the Biden regime, but where the hell are the rest? I mean, seriously, folks, when are we going to start seeing people go to prison, throwing children over the border wall, then leaving them behind? Thank God they were found. And no animal hurt them. But this happened. This all happened. And we saw it right before our very own eyes. And not a single person has gone to prison for this. Not a single person.
We constantly see the attorney general come out here and show you, oh, look at all this egregious stuff that happened behind the scenes under the last administration. But she won't show you the indictments. Did people behind the scenes work out like an agreement? Maybe spare us? And if Democrats do make their way into the office, they won't target us next? I mean, what is going on here? You've had ample time to go out here and arrest these people. Alejandro Mayorkas needs to go to prison. And for some reason, we're not even hearing little whispers about a RICO case against him and many others. I'm so fed up with the reporting about all of the things we're learning. We've known about it, but we learn more and more and more. And we can't get anyone to actually point us to anything meaningful going on right now. Great. You found 62,000 children. Talk about their stories individually. Where were those children found? Give us the details. The American people need to hear the ugly in all of this. Were those children kidnapped from their families in South America and then dragged over here to be sex trafficked? Very, very likely. Were they shuffled into fake family units because the Biden regime stopped testing, DNA testing? Where those children were repeatedly raped by strangers as they came into our country? That's very likely that happened as well. But they continue to show you some things and then just don't tell you the rest. We need to hear about these stories. We need to hear about these children's stories. And I'm just so fed up with sitting here and doing all this digging. I'm going, wow, you found that? Wow, you found thousands of missing children. Well, how many of their sponsors have been arrested? How many of them are in prison right now? I bet you those numbers aren't very high. You know, the Biden regime intentionally took in false information. We've had the whistleblowers on my show. We've talked about this extensively. They knew the information they were getting was false. They didn't care. They didn't care. They didn't care to vet it. They didn't care to check. James O'Keefe doing a great job at reporting just that, and they just allowed them to be shuffled in. And then they went missing. I mean, how many of those children are dead, organs harvested? Because we still have thousands more missing. No one wants to tell you the nitty-gritty details of all of this, about how children were intentionally trafficked into this country with the help of our federal government, and then shuffled throughout the country and hidden. This is by far one of the biggest scandals in American history, and everyone just gives you a little fluffy. Well, we found 62,000. That should make you happy. You know what will make me happy? What will make me happy when I see these people dragged into criminal court. But I know there's no one right now with the guts to do it. In fact, people like Tom Homan, which I'm sure if we gave Tom Homan his way, he would be the one doing it, but he's in a position where he's not confirmed because, you know, and I know, Tom Homan has made comments in the past the left-wing media really despises him for making. They don't like what Tom Homan represents. And Dana Bash, the CNN hack, who continues to pretend like she's an actual journalist, well, in clip 8, you're going to listen to her go after Homan for the ICE tactics that are being used to detain illegal aliens who should not be in this country in the first place. Listen to how aggressive she gets with Homan about the ICE tactics as they continue to go around the country arresting these illegal invaders. Take a listen.
So there's reasonable suspicion that you're talking about. There is releasing somebody once they're comfortable that they are a U.S. citizen. And then there's just the aggressive tactics that we are seeing in video after video. You're comfortable with those tactics that we're all seeing with our own eyes?
Look. Threats on ICE officers are up 1,200%. They're being doxxed on social media. They're getting death threats every day. They've been attacked. They've been shot at. And you know, these officers out there look for the worst of the worst. So they're protecting themselves. And I think they're following the law. And if any ICE officer, Border Patrol agent, acts out of policy or does something inappropriate, they'll be held accountable. But we got to remember, I mean, they're under attack, and we're at a place in this country where all of a sudden the ones who enforce law, the bad guys, and the ones who broke the laws are victims. I'm going to trust the men and women of ICE and Border Patrol who have been trained very well. They're doing the right thing. But I'll say again, if someone does something inappropriate, out of policy, illegal, they need to be held accountable. But I simply think I haven't seen that. And again, I'm not in every arrest. I'm not in every operation. I trust the men and women of ICE and Border Patrol to do the right thing.
I'm so tired of this narrative where we have to sit here and be apathetic towards the people who have illegally come into our country. Enough is enough, man. Stop feeding into the narrative. These people have broken the law. They are criminals. They are all criminals. If you are here living in the United States illegally, you are a criminal. And you deserve to be deported. Why are we sitting here and trying to have empathy for them? Because it feeds into the left's narrative. The left wants these people here, not because they are empathetic to these third world invaders, but because they want them here because that's their future voting base. These are people who cannot sit here and make enough money, enough income for themselves. They need the government. They rely on the government. That's why they exclusively imported them from these countries. And they want to make sure that they are not forced out of this country. And then they'll go and they'll start pushing for amnesty like they always do. And someone on the right could be like, yeah, well, maybe we should think about that. A congresswoman from Florida is a great example of that. She's sitting here and advocating for amnesty. By the way, Maria Salazar is her name. She's somebody who has repeatedly gone to the World Economic Forum events as well. Claims to be a Republican while preaching for amnesty. Folks, I've had enough of seeing this. I've had enough of this fake empathy that they want you to have for these people who have come to our country illegally. Yes, this is a country that was founded and has obviously taken in millions of immigrants. Yes. But these aren't the same immigrants that have come to this country in the past. And that is the big point in all of this. And the left knows it. That's the reason why they exclusively imported them. I want you to take a listen to clip 9. So yesterday on the Sunday morning talk shows, Eric Schmidt, the senator, did a great takedown of somebody who we all hate over at ABC News. Take a listen.
What do you mean you're not familiar with the facts and circumstances of the pardon? It's been well reported all across the country. He's the former president of Honduras. He was convicted of conspiring to bring in 400 tons of cocaine into the United States, also guns and other materials. It's been front page news across the country. Aren't you curious about that?
Well, I'm curious about your pushback on that particular point. With your previous guest, you had zero pushback because he's giving the Democrat talking points like you spew every single week, which is probably why your ratings are so bad. But to make the point, what I'm saying is that you're trying to divert here the attention from what the American people actually support. 75% of Americans support us blowing narco terrorists out of the water in the Caribbean who are trying to poison Americans. There's no real legal debate about the ability to do that. Now, you could have a policy discussion about it, which now you see the Democrats pivoting from the second strike and the war crimes allegation to really what this whole thing is about. Should we be doing it in the first place? I have way more sympathy for my friends, my cousins, my neighbors, those people who've been poisoned by these narco terrorists, people who've been skinned alive by these cartels that they bring people to the United States, than I do for these narco terrorists. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. So there's legal justification for it. He's doing it. We do have more of a focus on our interests now in the Western Hemisphere, and I'm thankful for that.
Do you support the pardon of the convicted drug smuggler or not?
George, like I said, what we're talking about here are the narco terrorists poisoning Americans. This attempt to try to focus on a pardon is classic because you've lost the debate now on the narco terrorist question.
I don't know how to feel about this one. It's kind of a fair question, I think. You know, President Trump obviously pardoning a former president of Honduras. That individual obviously was accused of helping drugs make their way into the United States. I've seen people, including Roger Stone, say that it was a corrupt political persecution, and that's the reason why the pardon is justified. I've seen the allegations that were against him that were made under, I believe it was the Biden regime. So yeah, it's a bit of a toss-up for me, but I'll say this. If we're going to go all in on this drug war, you can't sit there and offer pardons for those that you've deemed as people who aren't really the enablers in all of this. Those who have helped bring drugs into our country need to be held accountable on all levels. On all levels. And the continuous attacks in regards to the narco terrorists that are being blown out of the waters, the airstrikes that are taking, or the strikes that are being taken place, is a topic that Democrats continue to hover over. In clip 10, you're going to hear Senator Tammy Duckworth continue to go after the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, because she deems that Hegseth is a murderer. And he's guilty of war crimes. Now, again, when you ask them for specifics, they can't really outline it for you, of course. Take a listen.
Is they've not been authorized to be at war. And by the way, the individuals in that boat were not even aimed at the United States. So everything that they've done has been illegal. It's illegal under international law. It's illegal under the Geneva Convention. And it certainly is even illegal under domestic law. It was essentially murder with that double tap strike.
I mean, that's a very strong statement, murder, does that constitute a war crime? Is that what you're saying?
It is a war crime. It's illegal. How will you put it? It's all illegal.
You have seen the classified video of this particular strike, the first strike, and then the double tap, as it's known.
No, I've just seen what's been available in the media. Okay. I've read the full report, but I've not seen the actual video. I've requested to be able to see the actual video. I've also been actually asked to see the after-action reports from the pilots and the drone operators, as well as the intelligence debrief that all pilots and drone operators conduct after they have completed a mission.
Now, I think it's fair to ask the Pentagon to reveal and show us all of the evidence that they have, all the video footage. I don't think there should be any video classified. What would be the purpose of just that? I don't understand it. I've also asked for the names of the individuals who are killed in all of this so we could fact check it and see if these people were low-level cartel members, civilians blackmailed, because that happens quite often where those throughout countries are blackmailed and forced by the cartels to go and traffic drugs into foreign countries, and they're told that if they don't do so, if they don't comply, that they will kill their family. That happens quite often, so I want to make sure those who are on the boats are legitimately narco-terrorists. Not just innocent people who are being forced to do this because they know it's high risk. The cartels know this. They're not putting their top officials on these boats. Unfortunately, the Pentagon responding to me, and they stand by the individuals who are on these boats who are being killed as being narco-terrorists and did not give us any direct information, which I don't think is okay, actually. I think the left continues to go out there, and they've drum up the narrative that these obviously are people, and if they are narco-terrorists, then we could figure out this information ourselves, but they're not giving us any of the information. We actually haven't even heard from one of these narco-terrorist family members, which I think is quite strange. I think it's quite strange. I'd love to learn more about the people who are on those boats. So again, I do fear, and I've obviously done several stories about the cartels go around to villages and they force people within the villages to go out and traffic these drugs for them. I just want to make sure these people are not being forced to do this. Because obviously, why would the cartel send their top officials onto these boats to do these voyages when they know what's going to happen? It's practically a suicide mission. But again, the Pentagon not giving a direct answer, not saying that they're ever going to give us names. And I'd love to just see the full footage. I don't know why we have anything classified on this. We could shut Democrats up pretty quickly if we just reveal all of the information for the American people. I don't think any of this should be classified. I truly don't. I would not understand why that would be classified at this point. The Pentagon was very transparent. They said they were going to be transparent, and they do show us video, but I want to see all of the video. I don't want to see the video that you just want to show us. It's kind of my angle to this. Folks, if you want to talk about this too, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Maybe you have a little bit of a disagreement with me on that issue. Give us a call if you do. I also want to talk about other things too, like you may have not seen this story. I'm going to be doing some more deep digging into this one because this one's a big one. This one involved the congressman from the great state of Florida, Brian Mast. Now, apparently there was an individual following him around at the Stewart Christmas parade. The individual was acting very suspicious. So when the Martin County Sheriff's Office stopped him, he allegedly was carrying a gun while wearing a bulletproof vest underneath his clothes. The name of the suspect was not released, nor have I seen criminal charges. He was detained, it looks like. We're still waiting on more information here, though. They have not given us enough information in regards to who this individual is. Was this an actual person that was a threat? The last update coming from this weekend, this is just flagged as a suspicious person who was detained. Not actually arrested right now is what the latest update says. He was just removed from the parade, and that's all that they have right now. So again, interesting story. Interesting why they'd even put this out there if they have no charges actually filed against this individual. We'll continue to follow it, though, as it develops. All right, yesterday I found this really interesting soundbite. We're going to play it for you. We're also going to play it again later in the show, but a little bit of a snippet. But let's play the full part for you. So I want to play clip 11 for you. Jamie Dimon, he's the CEO of JP Morgan. Well, he was asked by Maria Bartiromo about debanking conservatives, and he wasn't happy about the question. Take a listen.
Did you send over the bank records of Devin Nunes or Trump supporters to the special counsel when he wanted that information?
People have to grow up here, okay, and stop making up things and stuff like that. So, and I can't talk about an individual account. We do not bank people, debank people with religious or political affiliations. We do debank them. They have religious and political affiliation. We debank people who are Democrats. We debank people who are Republicans. We've debanked different religious folks. Never was that for that reason. And that's number one. Number two is I don't like debanking people. We live under very strict rules and regulations and requirements, and to protect the country, and we have to report things to the government. We're required to report things to the government. I can't even tell you when we do it, because I'm not going to tell you that either. And so I want to change these rules. I actually applaud the Trump administration, who's trying to say the debanking's bad, and we should change the rules. Well, damn it, I've been asking to change the rules now for 15 years. So change the rules. And, you know, and that's why a lot of this stuff takes place. It is really customer unfriendly. And, you know, we're debanking people because of suspected things or negative media or all these various things. So, and the last thing, which is really important, we don't give information to the government just because they ask. We're subpoenaed. We are required by court to give it to the government. And I've been following subpoenas with this administration, the last administration, the administration before that, and the one before that. And I don't agree with a lot of, you know, the government does a lot of things that get angry at banks. So let's just take a deep breath and fix the problems as opposed to, like, blame someone who's put in that position. So, and we've been quite clear about this. We've given recommendations to the government how they can fix it, how we can change the rules and regulations to dramatically reduce reporting and debanking and things like that. And I would tell the government, if we see something that might possibly be bad, we'll report it to you and you decide. Why do we have to decide? Right. That's the position we're put in.
I mean, as someone who has covered global business for so many years and now covers politics as well as policy so closely, I have a problem with, you know, the special counsel taking advantage of corporate America to use corporate America to do their dirty work. Because it wasn't just the banks. It was also the telecom companies. Don't forget, they sent subpoenas to Verizon and AT&T to get phone records of Trump supporters. I mean, you know, a political witch hunt. So that's why I think our viewers, you know, want to understand how this happens.
Yeah, well, that is not me. That's your courts right. And the government and stuff like that. But the government, you know, Democratic and Republican governments have come after us both. So let's not act like this is just one side doing this. This has been going on for a long time. And we should stop, you know, militarizing the government that kind of way.
Now I'm going to reach out to Chase, J.P. Morgan, to ask specifically how many Democrats have also been forced by the company to be debanked. What subpoenas were being handed over by those in the Trump administration, because he's outlining it happens on both sides. Well, let's get some numbers. So I'll be doing that and trying my best to get you guys some answers on that, because I think it's a valid question in regards to it. Now, obviously, we've all seen it right now, specifically in Florida. J.P. Morgan is under investigation by the Florida Attorney General's office for debanking Trump media. Now, this apparently happened right before they went public. And so if he's saying that he did all of this when the government reached out, well, that's just another layer of the lawfare, because that happened then under the Biden administration. So, folks, a lot more here to dig into on that front. I thought it was a very interesting dance that Jamie Dimon did do. Continue to follow that, though, and I'll let you know if I hear back from J.P. Morgan, of course, in regards to their defense. All right, folks, if you want to jump on the show and give us some commentary in regards to any of the stories we covered thus far, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're taking your calls in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because right now we have 40% off colostrum. We also have some incredible supplements, brand new creatine gummies, which I highly recommend for all of you women out there. No one talks to women about taking creatine. It's a total game changer. It will help boost your energy. It will help, if you guys are someone who works out like myself, relieve muscle ache as well. Head on over to alexjonesstore.com.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
RFK Jr. told me about it.
That man is fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, what, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah! I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the Alex Jones store.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost, like, feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in, and it, like, instantly I just felt, like, this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt, like, instantly, like, I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to, like, 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck, too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com. You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal, second half of the second hour. We're taking your calls, of course. So we're excited that you're all joining us on hold right now. We've got a lot of people on hold. So let's kick it off with the very first person on my call list right now. Eli over in Ohio wants to talk about President Trump. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So with everything going on right now with Trump, you know, he likes to coin the term for Jerome Powell as Mr. Too Late Powell. Mm-hmm. But it seems like at this point, his nickname needs to be Too Late Trump. And then for his slogan for his administration needs to be, you know, all talk, no action. You know, I think we can all kind of see his administration right now crashing and burning in front of our eyes. And it doesn't look very good. It almost looks like it's a Trojan horse. Like it's supposed to be done on purpose at this point. You know, I might be wrong, but, you know, it looks like that. It doesn't look good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it doesn't look good. I have no idea why this is the case. I mean, I said it was like my little conspiracy that people in this administration likely took deals at this point to just play it safe, and they won't be targeted next if there is administration changeover to a Democrat next. I mean, I don't know what else it could be at this point. It just doesn't seem what they ran on. All the evidence is staring you right in the face. They continue to point and go, ooh, ah, and then they just don't do anything about it. I've had enough of seeing it. It's got me infuriated at this point. And as someone who's had to cover it extensively for the last 4 years, we were waiting for answers. We were waiting for these people to be held accountable. We couldn't even get a mugshot at a Tish James. I mean, they wanted to play footsie with her, which, you know, didn't happen when the roles were reversed. But they didn't get so much mugshot from Tish James, neither James Comey. And so here we are sitting here getting fed scraps and told that this is what they could do. This is what they're turning up. So yeah, I would say it's an absolute failure so far. We'd like to see it get changed around, hopefully by applying some pressure and making it obvious that we do not stand by this. That might actually change things over, but I don't know. You know, we're going to talk about it at great length later, but there's a D.C. federal prosecutor, Jocelyn Ballantyne, who was obviously someone who was a part of the J6 persecutions, was going after people like Enrique Tarrio and other members of the Proud Boys. Well, I mean, she's now leading that J6 pipe bomber case right now. This is a woman who's also working with Jack Smith's office. She literally put a plea agreement, according to Enrique Tarrio, where she's was trying to get Tarrio to say and to lie and say that he worked with President Trump to do everything that you saw unravel on J6. Well, that doesn't seem to be the case. Obviously, Enrique Tarrio saying, no, that's a lie. I'm not signing that. He got sentenced to 22 years in prison. And you'd think that this would be a woman who would no longer have a job working for the federal government, but she does. And I've reached out to Judge Jean Pinheiro, because she's the woman who's obviously running the D.C. office over there for comments. We gave her till about 6 o'clock today to respond back to us because I want to know what the heck's going on over there. Maybe there's some type of thing that we don't see that they could kind of enlighten us about, but man, people who should have been fired aren't fired. People who should be disbarred aren't being disbarred. People who belong in prison aren't sitting in prison. So, Eli, you're spot on. You are spot on. I just posted that seconds ago. So good luck, guys. Again, this is kind of crazy, but this is what's going on right now throughout this country. I think the American people have had enough. Thank you for calling. Let's turn to Bart in Georgia. Bart, welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for talking. Taking my call, and I apologize in advance for dragging you guys into this deep, dark space I'm about to, about Ilhan Omar's marriage. Let's stop talking about her marriage and ask the question, and did she consummate the marriage? And don't answer the question because we know she did, because that's what they do in Somalia. Revoke her citizenship. We only have 3 years to get rid of these people, or all of us are going to prison. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I asked tough questions, Bart, but there's questions that I don't want illustrations to, so that might be one of them. But I know exactly what you're saying, and I appreciate you calling it, of course. Yeah, it's a tough one. It's so frustrating. Again, like, we all know it. We all know it. She doesn't even answer the question when she's asked about it. And for some reason, she's still an American citizen. I don't get it. All right, Pigpen in Ohio, welcome to the show.
Hello, how's it going this morning?
Good, how are you?
Good. So I was just calling about, like, the giggling death goddess at the Pentagon, you know, telling us how lethal our ammunition is, as if we don't already know that, you know, when you shoot a missile at somebody, it kills them. And can't we get a cigar-chomping, half-drunk, peg-leg salt of a man, somebody that's been in the military, that has a slight axe to grind against them, nothing too obsessive, but just a slight axe to grind, so that we know we're getting the real and full stories here?
Yeah, you're talking about my girl Kinsley Wilson, and so
yeah, her and Levette, they're both psyops, man. They're both giggling death goddesses. Please read Transformation of America by Kathy O'Brien. It will disgust you, and I hope that when you do, you take and slam it on Pete Hegseth's desk and say, is this crap still going on in the military?
Well, okay, so here's my thing, right? Kinsley is relatively new to the position, so I think sometimes giggles could be a nervous tick. I know some people have it. I mean, I have an awkward one, but I don't do it on air. But it's like when someone asks you uncomfortable, I go, ha, 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 ha. But I know what you're talking about. You know, I wasn't thrilled with the fact, I'm sure you probably heard my question when I asked about the Afghan migrants who were brought into military bases and if they plan on turning any of the criminal stats over. Although Kinsley is someone who I've watched growing up in this industry, she's relatively young in her, I believe, mid-20s. So this is like her, this is her big, big staged right now, so it's probably more of a nervous tick for her. But I was not happy when I didn't get an answer. There wasn't a direct answer. There was a lot of pivot there, and so that was a little discouraging. But I think she's got a lot to work on. You know, she's got Sean Parnell, who's the spokesperson behind her. So Sean obviously spent, I believe it's close to 500 days serving in Afghanistan. So he's obviously the one with all the experience, but he's got a lot on his plate. So I know Kinsley's kind of the relief for him. So they do put her out there, but you know, otherwise it's kind of a crazy job that they've thrown her into. So she's got a lot more to kind of learn and from that angle. So I'll say yes, the laughter could be a little toned down. Overall is definitely still a good person. And I don't think that she has any ill intent. I think it's probably more of a nervous tick for her, but I appreciate you calling into the show, of course, and telling me what you think about that. So thank you, Pigpen. Thank you so much. All right. Let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
You've been busy. You're like Savoie Faire. You're everywhere. I've been seeing and hearing you everywhere. You're busy.
Thanks, Tim. I am. That's the reason why today I got on set and I just didn't know how to speak for like the first hour of the show. I'm like stumbling over words, could barely say my own name. But we're pulling it together. We're pulling it together. How's everything with you?
So far, so good. I got two stories for you for Zoran Mamdani. Both of these happened over the weekend, and I got both of these off the New York Post. Saturday, Zoran Mamdani sparks outrage by tapping radical who praised notorious cop killer Asata Shakur for the education transition team. So here's Zoran Mamdani, and he's picking this lady, Zakaya Shakir Ansari. She was the co-executive director for the Alliance for Quality Education, a far-left activist group. You get the idea. But he's put on this lady to be part of his transition committee for youth and education. And she was asked in an interview, if you could spend an afternoon with any woman, past or present, who would it be? And her answer was, the one who killed the cop back in the late 79.
Yeah.
Asata Shakur. That's not even her real name.
No.
Anyways, and then her friends came and visited her in prison from the Black Liberation Army and busted her out of prison. And she went to Cuba, where she lived all her life. She's part of the Black Panthers and all that stuff, Black Liberation Army. These people would blow up the Capitol and this kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, these are the people that are going to be in charge of children now, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other story was, this happened on yesterday, Sunday. Zoran Mamdani gives advice on how to thwart and evade ICE in video message urging viewers to stand up to vets. And he explains that, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do it, we can all stand up to ICE if you know your rights, he says. And know your rights. And ICE cannot enter into your private spaces like your home, school, or private area of your workplace without a judicial warrant signed by a judge. And you have the right to say, I do not consent to entry, and keep your door closed. And this is helpful, right? The guy's in charge of the largest city in America and the financial capital of the world. And he's creating films that he's releasing to the general public, showing them how to fight against, the law. Don't comply with law. Let's burn it all down. Something like that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're Marxist, and this is how they do it. They infiltrate the school districts, and that's what they're going to do here. It's really frustrating because nobody seems to care. I mean, they all sit here and pretend like this is just a regular politician. I mean, I've outlined it for you, Tim. I know we've talked about this before. They literally announced in 2014 this was going to be their guy to run for New York City mayor, and he wasn't even a U.S. citizen then. He was a U.S. citizen in 2018. So this Marxist communist takeover has been in the works for quite some time, and the best way to make this long-term is by infiltrating the school system, and they've done such a masterful job at that. So no surprise here, and I like how you outlined it for the public. Yeah, where's the outrage in all of this? Again, no one seems to be paying attention. Everyone go, oh, just do homeschooling. Don't send your kids to public school. But the reality is most Americans can't afford to do just that. They have to work two incomes because it's very expensive to raise children. So many people, great people, are not having kids right now. It's just such a train wreck, and we allow it to happen. Tim, you got a great point. As always, thanks for calling in. We appreciate you. All right, let's turn to Rodney in Arizona. Rodney, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I woke up. That's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. I hear you there. What's going on? What's on your mind?
I just want to appreciate you, the job you're doing.
Thank you, Rodney.
You're a great patriot warrior, and without you, you know, our republic would already been lost.
Ah, Rod, you're giving me too much credit, my friend. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, we have to push back. And I try to be fair and balanced, Rodney. I do. But, man, oh, man, it's rough these days.
I agree with everything that you talk about.
Thank you. I need more of you. So what's on your mind about James Comey?
Well, I hear you fretting about him still walking around free, which is an atrocity.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want, you know, to emphasize that Judgment Day is coming for him and all enemies of this great nation. And they will fall.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see him dragged into a criminal courtroom. I'd like to get at least a mugshot. Can't even do that, though. Can't even do that.
And people like AOC.
AOC.
No, AOC.
Yeah, what about specifically?
Yes, well, they just don't understand the power of prayer.
Yeah.
And every morning I pray against all enemies of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Rodney, it's a mess. It's a mess. These people are communist, treasonous pigs. I always say that, but, you know, we have a DOJ, and Jeremiah is going to be next in the call, who's going to sound off about this even in greater detail, that's incapable of going out there and pushing back. So, yeah, I'm all on board for that. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it, as always. Jeremiah, I hear you want to sound off, too, on the DOJ stuff. I'm frustrated. I hope you are as well.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Yeah. I called in the White House today, and I told them that they should fire Todd Blanche and Pam Bondi, and that they're not only just not doing a great job, but maybe they're sabotaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like
and
it.
I think it's I think it's messed up.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that stresses me out the most. You know, like when I hear the reports of what's going on, I feel that inner rage just go. Yeah. But I just want to encourage everyone to call in, and then even if it's any little action, do it, you know. And also anyone listening, the Alex's documentaries, you can get them on band.video for free, download them. And they're just, if you haven't watched them yet, I'd watch every one of them, download them, and they're just fantastic. And just call the White House and tell them what you think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you have the number on hand by any chance? I'm sure we could find the number.
You could Google it. I mean,
I'm going to do it on the fly.
No, but, I just want to say I love, the InfoWar. I listen every day. Big Daddy Alex, we love you. You're the best. And, Brianna, you're beautiful, and you're impressive with your, you do great work.
Thank you.
I like the last couple callers. All the calls have been good.
Thank you. Yeah, no, everyone's been great. Yeah, I mean, hey, we're still here. We're still fighting. We're fighting the good fight, and we're excited about that. But that's the point. Like, I know some people were so black-pilled instantly when the Trump administration took over. I was like, no, let's have faith. Let's back these people. Now I've seen enough. Now I'm on board. I'm like, let's criticize these people because they're not doing enough. So thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Let's turn to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning, Chad. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Shout out to your crew, too. You do a great job.
They are pretty good. Thank you.
Wanted to call about or talk about two things. The J6 bombing suspect, obviously, that's a, to me, in my opinion, and this may come under fire, but I watched an episode from Kyle Serafin last night called Captured, and it discusses a lot of the details that we aren't being told from, you know, the narrative that's out there. And I know you've gone through some stuff there too. But I highly recommend that people at least just go, like you say, with, which I think is great, Brianna, you go with your journalism, you get both sides, mm-hmm. right? Or however many sides you need to, and you confirm the information and you compile the data and you put it together. And I think that still needs to be done mm-hmm. with this case, because there are specific details that are discussed with both Steve Friend and Kyle Serafin that are undeniable. And, you know, it's just, we can't look past that.
Yeah.
And that concerns me, because you have liaisons, and all of this is really just starting to tell me that the right people have been inserted to manage up and manage down. Meaning, okay, let's go and get somebody that has, and I think if people understand that this is, it's like war tactics, and they take it very seriously, the Democrats or anybody that's, you know, on that side that is deep state, that sort of thing, they take this very seriously. The GOP is kind of like reluctant. I know it's all uniparty, in my opinion. I think that's safe to say. But the GOP is kind of like the side that lets everything go. And we're seeing that, and they get taken advantage of, or they're part of it, or whatever it is, whatever it may be. But it's this manage up, manage down kind of thing, where you tell the people here, like, oh, yeah, this is and then this is what's going on here. And then you get the people to work for you underneath you and above you. And it's highly effective. And that's what I'll say about that part. But then also this fraud that in Minnesota with everything that's going on there, and the number that they now are putting out there, that it could be $8 billion. It went from 2 to 8, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Who knows? That might be some – who knows? But the fact of the matter is it's billions of dollars. And I think that might have a multitude of implications if it's exposed properly. And I think the voter fraud aspect is in on that. And this – there's a real strange thing that I found with Project Veritas back in 2020, where they actually came in, and I think there was, you know, it went kind of, it didn't gain a lot of traction because it was right around the time where everybody was saying that Trump is, he's, you know, he's lost his mind. He's talking about all this voter fraud. And then they started pushing the, well, look at who you are actually accusing, and it became racially motivated in the sense of, oh, that's what we're going to push. We're going to push that this is racist. If you come at us, we're going to say that this is a, you know, a racial incident. And that there's a great article from Alpha News. Are you familiar with Alpha News?
I've heard of them. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Uh-huh. I do.
Yeah. So Liz Cohen, who did, the documentary on George Floyd,
correct,
the fall of Minneapolis. Yeah, mm-hmm. If you watch that, you see the other side, right? That's journalism. Okay, well, let's get the other side, which I thought was a brilliant documentary, and I think that would open a lot of people's eyes. I highly recommend it. But you go, this Alpha News article has an actual, it has a, there's a video from one of the meetings. Senator Omar Fetta's there. Jamal, the Sixth Ward City Council member, Jamal Osman, he was tied into that Project Veritas segment that they put out that was actually related to potential voter fraud. And you've got, I mean, if you start digging into this, it goes so deep. And then think about ranked choice voting. Now they're starting to get where it's, now you can have 35 people running, and if you get the top four, okay, they come in, you know, and then the first round, you don't meet 50% of the votes. Well, then you have your second round. What they do is they start forming alliances, mm-hmm. and they say, okay, well, let's vote this guy. So they're working their way in to try to get people to vote for their second option. And then they get potentially, I mean, it's not a fill. It's just convoluted. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why do we even have that?
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes it very convoluted and hard for everybody to understand. And then you got to make, okay, now I got to rank my, you know, who I vote for, and I got to rank this. And then it's like, okay, now, and it can cause a lot of issues with that type of system, obviously. So I just think that there's something, there's underlining that they're not getting to. And I think a multitude of things, but I think the voter aspect is also, or the voter, potential voter fraud is also part of this.
Yeah, I mean, it usually is. It usually is. And I think you're spot on with all of that, especially you're open when you were talking about the J6 pipe bomber story, because I know that's where you started off with this. But yes, Chad, I try to check both sides, hold both sides accountable on that front. It's been long and ongoing, but again, we're not hearing much. I think you're probably onto something, though, with the Somalian stuff as well, a lot more there. And they're all hiding, and it's all cover up. I remember the Project Veritas story too. That was a great one. So thanks for mentioning that as well, Chad. Thank you so much for calling. Okay, Bill, in New York, we've got about 90 seconds. So welcome to the show, Bill.
Oh, thank you. Well, I just want to say keep up the good work. We have to hold President Trump accountable when he's off track. Yeah. The midterms, we're going to get crushed the way things are going right now.
Yeah.
To the last caller, he was talking about the ranked choice voting, that's George Soros funded.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done is they've gone to the states and said you can cross party lines to vote, and you end up voting for two people in the same frickin' party. Guess which one? It's George Soros. It's more of his funding. That son of a bitch needs to be in prison, and mm-hmm. this is where Trump needs to be held accountable. Sick and tired of the apologist attitude. Well, we don't want to damage our chances. You're holding him accountable today. Thank you for doing that. Alex needs to do the same thing. Not, oh, we can't focus on that. We got to go after the other side and let him get away with the shit he's doing like he just did to MTG. Inexcusable. But thank you for doing a good job for holding him accountable.
Thanks, Bill.
We're going to get crushed otherwise.
I think the midterms are going to be a slaughter. I mean, it's not looking good for us. All of our key players are leaving. Troy Nels, congressman from Texas, he's also leaving. I know his brother is looking to run in his spot too, but you know, when I spoke with Nels, we did a whole sit down, which is available on band.video as well. When I was in DC last week, he said it's due to family. He wants to spend more time with family, but DC is brutal. It's brutal. When you see what's happening to MTG, I can't imagine why anyone would want to run, for office, because that was somebody who was a loyalist. She was very loyal to the president's agenda. She was all in on MAGA. And then you have him putting up things today on Truth Socials, calling her out and saying that she's not America First or MAGA, which is insane, because if she's not, then I don't know who else would be. And as you sit there and see all these foreign actors get shuffled in and out of the White House, and he's acting like MTG is treasonous. I mean, yeah, I know a lot of people question her suck history, her buying history and all of that. But folks, I would never refer to her as a traitor to this country. I think she's a patriot. I think it's absolutely disgraceful what's going on right now. Bill, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Thank you for everyone else who called in as well. You know, I tried working my way down the list. I know we've got a few other people on hold. We'll get to it tomorrow, though, so I hope you guys are the first ones to call in on tomorrow's show as well. A lot more happening, though, in the next hour of the program. Viva Fry calling in just a moment to jump on the J6 pipe bomber story with me, as well as debanking and more.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Body's Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. We're kicking off the third hour of the show with two of my favorite guests. Eva Fry will be joining me in just a moment. Talk J6 pipe bomber. Does he believe it? Because I don't believe it. And I'm sure you guys at home don't believe it either, but we will get his take on all the very latest in regards to that. Plus, Mark Mitchell will also be joining the show as well in just a bit. Because President Trump, well, his approval numbers when it comes to his job, his overall job, numbers, those have completely plummeted. I'm hearing that they're going to actually hit the 30 range later today. That's what's expected to happen over at Rasmussen Reports. So we're going to bring him in to talk about just that. So a lot underway there. But in case you missed, I wanted to play this clip because there's a really interesting new update in regards to the Havana syndrome. Now, as many of you guys may have heard about this, I'm sure you guys did if you're watching InfoWars, of course. A lot of federal employees working overseas were victims of the Havana syndrome. And one of them actually joined Catherine Heritage in the latest update in her story in clip 12. Take a listen.
Christy, who asked us not to use her real name to protect her identity, was on assignment for the Defense Department in 2015 when she says she was attacked by a directed energy weapon. Since, her brain injury continues to get worse.
You've seen my brain scans, and so every couple years, more of my brain is, you know, gone. I wanted to come and speak to you with you on camera to preserve what I can while I can before I entirely disappear.
We sat down with Christy, who told us the attack happened at a hotel in the former Yugoslavia, and the attack unfolded like a spy novel.
The last night I was there, I was followed.
What happened next?
When I got back to the hotel, there was someone in the lobby that was a different person that I just noted and thought was creepy. And outside of my hotel room door, there was a service panel on the wall right outside my door. The service panel door was open about an inch or an inch and a half. I didn't look in it. I just noticed that it was open. I didn't touch it. And ahead of me at the end of the hall, to the left, was a stairwell door, and the door was swinging shut as though somebody had just gone through the door.
This is the elevator.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's my room.
Christy showed us this hotel floor plan and suspects the attack was triggered from a service panel in the hotel hallway.
What happened inside your room?
When I got on my computer, instead of sort of firing up normally, it just got blue and yellow static. Big zigzag static, and then it got what they call the blue screen of death.
Were you attacked by a directed energy weapon?
Yes.
No question in your mind?
No.
Is there a classified report about the incident?
Yes.
Where is the classified report?
DIA has it.
The Defense Intelligence Agency?
I believe so, yes.
When you got back to the United States, were you hospitalized?
Yes. I was really sick when I got back. I was, you know, back and forth to the doctor all the time.
Were you in the ICU?
Yes. I was in the ICU for probably 5 days or so. I was in the hospital for about 2 weeks.
All right, if you want to see the full interview, Catherine Herridge has done an incredible job at outlining just that for you. It's about a 17-minute video, but she's been doing this extensively over the last few months now, digging into all of this and speaking with those who have been badly damaged by Savannah syndrome. And, of course, our federal government's very, very quiet on the subject matter. But there are several federal employees who have been abroad and who have or who believe that they suffer from this. So definitely worth your attention. Folks, in the meantime, I want to remind you before we kick off the third hour of the show by heading over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. The creatine gummies, we just kicked those off. They're on sale over at the alexjonesstore.com right now. We also, for today's sale, have 40% off colostrum. Many of you guys know we've been out of stock on that. Well, we're back in stock because it's one of our top selling items. And it is on sale today for 40% off. That sale's not going to last forever. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now.
We are live, still on air. Despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're going to kick off the third hour of this show with Viva Fry in just a few moments. First, I want to catch you up on some headlines. Remember at the beginning of the show, I told you all that the White House was going to be holding a roundtable discussion around 2 p.m. Eastern time. Well, it looks like we might know what that's going to be about. President Trump is slated to roll out a $12 billion farm aid package. That's according to one White House official who apparently spoke with The Hill. The aid includes $11 billion in one-time payments to crop farmers as part of the Department of Agriculture's Farm Bridge Assistance Program. The remaining $1 billion are going towards crops that have not been covered by the program itself. President Trump will announce the aid package along with the Treasury Secretary and the Agriculture Secretary as well. White House events is expected to be attended by farmers of the soybean industry, corn, rice, cattle, potato, and other obviously industries. This has been a major focus for President Trump, who is trying his best to force the Chinese to purchase our soybeans, of course, to kind of spark up our industries. But although they've committed to it recently, they haven't really done much on that front. So we're keeping our eye on that. That's expected to happen at the White House later today, it sounds like, around 2 p.m. Eastern time. So we will keep our eyes on that as it develops and, of course, bring you the very latest. All right. So I want to talk to you guys about, I think it's very, very interesting. I want to talk to you guys about the J6 pipe bomber story, because the mainstream media was very happy when they were able to somehow kind of pivot. When they learned that he's white, they weren't, he wasn't white, they weren't very happy about this. When they learned he's black, they tried their very best to find a new angle in all of this. And miraculously, CNN, in the final hours of all of this on Friday, found a way to spin it. Now, they're claiming that the suspect believes that the 2020 election was somehow stolen. Take a listen to clip 14, because they're doing their very, very best to spin this narrative.
The suspect, the young man who'd been arrested on this case at length over the last 24 hours. And what we've learned is that among the statements that he has made is that he believed the 2020 election was stolen. And so that appears to be the first statement that has been made in this case that might give an indication of a motive of why he may have placed these bombs in those locations.
Okay, so they're searching for this motive. They are trying their very best to figure out how they could spin this, because Brian Cole Jr., the man who is accused of being the J6 pipe bomber, doesn't fit the narrative. And in fact, they're doing their very best to try to spin it, like I mentioned. But take a listen to clip 15, because CNN went full meltdown mode when they couldn't accuse him of being a white MAGA supporter. Take a listen.
You should believe
maybe,
what he says?
No, maybe he put a bomb at the DNC because he believed the Democrats stole the election because Republicans and conspiracy theorists pushed that. And he put the bomb at the RNC because the vice president, who was about to be sworn in, was going to ride by that area. There are many scenarios that the prosecution will have to play out this case. But I'm gonna say the thing out loud that I think everyone is not saying and is actually surprised, and why I think Jeanine Pirro is actually saying it. I think the fact that this man is a black man is surprising to people. I think people thought this was going to be a white man that did this. They were going to be able to say he was a part of the progressive left. And the fact that it's a black man that is saying, I too was susceptible to conspiracy theorists that the president and conservative podcasts were pushing that this election was stolen, is a fact that they were not expecting. And now everyone is on their heels and they're trying to spin it. And I think that might be also why you think, let's not believe his actual story right now.
Like,
he's trying to get both sides.
It's certainly possible.
I mean,
Man, they are trying their very best. Joining me to discuss is Viva Fry. He does an incredible show on Rumble, which I'm a big fan of course, because I do make a lot of appearances on the show, of course, but it's also an incredible show to watch. He's a former litigator as well. And he's with us now to kind of go through all of this, because Viva, I don't really buy the narrative that's being sold. I want to kind of focus first, though, about how this caught the left-wing media off guard, because they truly believe that this is going to be a white man who was arrested for all of this. And CNN without even looking at a picture, pushed that it was a white man, thanks to Jake Tapper. And so now they're trying to spin up this narrative as if there's something else here, like he was an election denier. What do you make of this?
Well, it is amazing. When people were initially Googling the Brian Cole, there was there was a white guy with a red beard who came up, and I imagine the flack that he got for a few hours. What I love is I literally predicted that they were going to spin it that way, that it was someone who felt the election was fraudulent. By the way, it was, if only for the Hunter Biden laptop story concealment, it was a fortified 2020 election, but that they were going to blame the fact that he left a pipe bomb allegedly outside the RNC as he was angry at Rhino Republicans. That's how they're going to make this story make sense. The reality is nothing in this story makes sense. That the guy, according to the affidavit, started buying the materials for the pipe bomb a year to 2 years before the election, without explaining. I mean, we heard that he was an anarchist and that he was into pipe bomb making. Okay, that's, I'd like to see some evidence of that, but that he was angry that the election was stolen. So he decided to fortuitously put together items that he purchased a year plus earlier to make a pipe bomb, in an affidavit where they don't even explain how he bought the components to make the black powder for the pipe bombs, because they were allegedly viable. I'm not calling anyone names. I'm just saying I don't believe this story for a second. If only from the physique of the individual, the accused right now, Brian Cole, has, according to family, uniquely short legs. He's a 30-year-old autistic, semi-verbal, allegedly, according to his grandmother, individual. Not to say that he couldn't do this, but they find him a month after Steve Baker's expose, fortuitously, based on evidence that already existed in the file, no new tips. And, you know, that's it. Don't ask any questions about this relatively thin, in my humble opinion, affidavit that says he bought these materials a year before the election, put it together because he was upset about the election, and evaded police for 5 years. Nothing about it makes sense.
Yeah, and when I asked specifically the FBI, one of my sources who's very close to the investigation, how did you narrow it down to this gentleman? Because you just weren't combing through records to kind of find someone and then go there with this. It just didn't make any sense. They said there's more evidence coming out, and I was told that it was going to happen at his first court appearance, but, you know, I was on your show when I announced that. I still haven't seen any new evidence come about, and so I haven't seen any physical evidence or any proof that this wasn't just some guy possibly getting this all pinned on him. I mean, the cell phone towers, yeah, it sounds like a good argument, but again, I mean, how do you know the cell phone was in his possession at the time of all of this? I could see a C-list criminal defense attorney poking a lot of holes into just that criminal complaint that was pushed out. And I don't see it going well for them. And the autism angle, too. I know, Viva, you spoke about this, too. I've got friends and family members who I know close to me who do struggle with these similar issues. And they were, and I literally right in the back of their ID, there's a note on one of these individuals' IDs for the police if they ever interact with them to call me immediately because I do not want them talking to this person because I know this person would admit to a bombing if they just kind of pinned them down to it because they are someone who falls under peer pressure and sadly doesn't have the developmental capabilities of being able to defend themselves. And I know what this is like, so I'm concerned, although they're saying he's working with the FBI and he doesn't actually have a real criminal defense attorney representing him. I'm very concerned that this individual might end up confessing to something that he didn't actually do.
Well, we all now know who the prosecutor in this case is, Jocelyn Ballantyne, who was the same prosecutor that railroaded the Jan Sixers, Enrique Tarrio, the Proud Boys, who concealed evidence from them, who tried to coerce Enrique Tarrio into signing a false statement of fact that would have incriminated the president.
Yeah,
the
Viva, I've actually got that soundbite from your show. Let me play that so our audience knows, because you did a great job with Tarrio last night about this. Folks, let's play clip 16 so everyone knows what he's talking about here. Take a listen.
They put me in a room. They slid a piece of paper across the desk with a narrative on it. And they're like, if you sign this, you'll have a bail hearing next week, and we guarantee you you won't do a single day in prison. I pulled the document in, I looked at it, and basically what the document said was that the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, through the means of a third party, told me to storm the Capitol of the United States to stop the certification of the election.
May I stop you just for 1 second? Who's asking, who's sliding this paper and who's asking you to sign it?
Her name is Jocelyn Ballantyne and she works for the Department of Justice and she was the head of the Capitol Siege Division, for the Department of Justice at the time. Sitting in the room, she's the one that offered it. I said no. And she told me to lie about the president in order to go home. And there is no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Because at that time, Jack Smith hadn't been appointed yet. There's no doubt in my mind that one of the people that were working with Jack Smith to prosecute the president, because it was a January 6th case, she definitely worked with Jack Smith.
Yeah, that's where I want to step in, because Viva, I mean, I have spoken to Tarrio about this. When he was in prison, I was actually his pen pal. I'd often write him, and he did the same exact story he just told you at the same exact level of detail, was able to confirm these things to me. I even sat down with him after he was released, and it was the same story. His consistency has been key here in all of this. You wouldn't have any proof of this. You wouldn't be able to walk away with what she put in front of you. So I just want to kind of echo that, but he has been consistent in this. This woman, as you just outlined, I'll let you continue to go to it, is the same woman who was trying to go after President Trump. In fact, also, you know, I was able to just do some basic digging, and she was also the one who was behind General Flynn. If our audience recalls, she was the one who apparently used an invalid attorney ID number when they were trying to drop those charges against Flynn, and it did, in fact, hold up things, and it was quite the amateur move. But I'll let you take away everything from there because you've done a great job of just detailing who she is.
Set aside whether or not you believe Enrique Tarrio's story about her trying to get him to sign a statement to incriminate Trump. Yeah. She withheld exculpatory evidence from the Proud Boys, Enrique Tarrio. And it was only discovered in the context of that persecution that they didn't delete the tabs that they had hidden. And so when it came to Enrique, they saw what was being removed from this document that had exculpatory evidence and told FBI agents to delete evidence. In Michael Flynn's case, where you had a guilty plea that the media ran with forever. He pleaded guilty. He must have been guilty, not explaining that they threatened to go after his kid and that he was coerced into a guilty plea. Now they're interrogating an autistic 30-year-old semi-nonverbal without counsel before the first hearing. It's crazy. But the other issue is that this kid, by some accounts, might have been up working a DoorDash. And so, you know, whether or not his stuff is pinging in the general area, it's when you come up with an affidavit in a politically charged case that's been on, you know, not the back burner, but the forefront for 5 years, how the hell have they not found the pipe bomber? And they come up with this affidavit. It should be sort of, if we want to talk about a shock and awe, overwhelming to leave no doubt that there might be getting the wrong guy. It should have been sufficiently detailed in my humble view. People like, wait for the evidence to come in, you know, wait another 24 hours, 72 hours. Trust me, bro. You know, we really got the goods on this guy. We're just not putting it in this affidavit right now, despite the fact that we know that this is the most politically relevant case potentially in the history of America. It doesn't make much sense, especially when it comes in the wake of the Steve Baker expose that seems to have pinpointed someone else who, you know, the Blazes retracted but asserted the veracity of the allegations according to their sources. So when you're coming out with this type of case and it's a U-turn that nobody saw coming, you need something more than a thin wait for the evidence to come out at trial type thing, because people are not going to wait that long and people are going to be rightly outraged that the same perpetrators of the January 6th persecution are now in charge of this case. Jocelyn Valentine should have been fired. And according to, you know, Enrique, and you ask any of the Proud Boys, she should be in jail for what they did. It was so bad, Trump has to come in and pardon all of them. And now not only has she not been fired, she's at the helm of the most politically relevant case of our time. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, and to just to back all this up too, I did reach out to the office that she's working out of, that DC office. I reached out to the DOJ for comment on why she's still employed, because, I mean, maybe best case scenario, they have no idea of what she's been accused of. And I've asked them to explain themselves. We've given them a deadline of 6 p.m. Eastern time today, I believe, to respond to this request. So hopefully we do get a response back from them, because it's really hard to understand how this woman has been able to fly under the radar. I mean, she gave Bill Barr a hard time under President Trump's first term, it sounds like, and was refusing to dismiss these charges and was creating these little obstacles for General Flynn. So to see also what she did on top of that with the Proud Boys and Tarrio, who's been consistent on this whole story the entire time, is pretty, pretty concerning. And again, I'm sitting back here and I'm watching this, and, you know, actually, let's get this up, because Thomas Massie, the great Congressman Thomas Massie, actually ran a poll on his X account regarding whether we believe that this 30-year-old autistic man is the one who's responsible for the J6 pipe bombers. And he asked the people, what do they think about all of this? And most people actually do have doubts. According to his own poll, others say he worked with others. It's about 44.8%. And then not involved, not guilty, is at 37.3%. The other, he's a lone wolf, guilty, 7.3%. So the American people aren't buying what the federal government's selling us right now. And I think you did a great job, Eva, outlining the fact that they keep telling us, like, I want to kind of give my audience some type of clarity in all of this. And when I say, well, how'd you get to this guy? You did a crappy job at your press conference detailing how you got to this point. All they all were really doing up there was patting themselves on the back and, you know, kind of saying, we did a great job. But not telling us how you got to this point. They didn't walk us through it. Why do you think this is the kind of nonsense that we're just expected to kind of spew at this point? And, you know, as someone who, you know, we're friends with a lot of these people, I've endorsed these people for their positions. If we're critical now about their performance in all of this and how they've lacked transparency, they go after us, or people get really upset with us about doing this. I mean, I don't have an issue with being critical, but they seem to have an issue with us being critical against what they've done so far.
Well, there's realities here. Yeah. Even if what they're saying is true and nobody believes it, it's a problem. So, I mean, that in and of itself is an issue. If what they're saying is true, but nobody trusts them because Kash Patel came out and made some notoriously inaccurate statements after the Charlie Kirk assassination, after the DC shooting. Mm-hmm. If what they're saying is true and no one believes it, it's a problem. If what they're saying, if they believe it, but it turns out not to be true, it's a problem. When you say, like, you know, maybe the Trump administration didn't know who this person was. Maybe Jeanine Pirro didn't know who this person was. They know now. And so if they don't do anything now, that's a problem. If they didn't know, that's a problem. If they did know, it's a problem. And some people are going to raise the argument that, you know, they need bulldogs who are going to go in there and really get that conviction. If you're getting that conviction through, I won't say Brady violation, it might not be the right term, but through violating the rules of procedure that, you know, results in hiding exculpatory evidence, that results in an injustice that requires a pardon. If that's the type of bulldog prosecutor you need, you're screwing justice as well. And so there's no good reason for why this woman still had a job, how she ended up on this case. If they didn't know, it's a problem. If they did know, it's a problem. And going back to it, you know, we're expected to believe that this autistic 30-year-old, borderline semi-nonverbal with exceptionally short legs, who, according to friends and family, would never have done this, was a DoorDash driver. We don't know when, but I think that's going to come back to bite some butts at the end of this. If we're to believe that he acted totally alone but was buying materials upwards of 2 years earlier, and we don't have an explanation as to how he made the black powder at home because there's no allegations that he bought sulfur, charcoal, whatever the heck else is needed for black powder, you know what? It starts to smell a whole hell of a lot like what happened in the Gretchen Whitmer fednapping plot, which we all acknowledge was a fednapping entrapment, at least for two of the defendants, where they find people who are mentally vulnerable, down on their luck, downtrodden, easy to manipulate, and they use them as their patsies to carry out a thwarted attack that they never would have gotten involved in but for the involvement of their agent handlers. In the Whitmer case, you know, they were training these mentally vulnerable people, financing them, giving them credit cards, and then they foil the plot. But there was such involvement of the FBI and confidential human sources that a couple of them got off on a defensive entrapment. It looks a whole hell of a lot like that might what have been at play here. And when the team comes out and they say, no, there were no new tips, we just reanalyzed the evidence. And what we saw here is a total dereliction and negligence of the past administration, the corrupt FBI under Biden. For 4 years, they just shelved it. We know that they were malicious, corrupt. One thing they were not were incompetent. And so in as much as you had Peter Stroke and Lisa Page preparing their insurance policy for a Trump presidency, you had Kevin Kleinsmith of the FBI, the lawyer, falsifying evidence to spy on Donald Trump to set up the Russiagate hoax so that if Trump got elected president, they could use that as the insurance policy to undermine him. In as much as they are corrupt and villainous, incompetent to that degree, they are not. And so for anyone to think they spent the last 4 years under Biden's FBI, a corrupt criminal FBI DOJ, not planning for this eventuality, but they just didn't look this up, this lead, they just shelved it. I don't believe that. And I think a lot, you know, the risk that this is part of what I would, you know, call the insurance plan 2.0 is very real. They're not that negligent, the FBI, and especially when they were as corrupt as the Biden FBI DOJ, they didn't just let this sit. And the only question is whether or not they were involved with this kid from before. You know, Mike Benz did a great stream where about 2 hours into it, he's like, oh, the kid was buying these items in November-ish 2020, a little earlier, right at the same time you had all of these talking heads, election integrity partnership, people talking about how to make sure that if Trump gets elected, we can undermine the election. And if he doesn't get elected, that he can't use his social media presence to rally the troops, so to speak. You know, it coincides with that. So you look at Massey's poll. 80% of the people believe he was either not a lone wolf or is innocent. And that's a problem if, in fact, we are, you know, if he did, in fact, do it and he's a lone wolf, it's a problem. Nobody believes it. But I don't think people can be blamed for just not believing this wild 180 turn out of the middle of nowhere. A lone, semi-verbal, autistic 30-year-old who evaded FBI for 5 years. And but for looking at the evidence they already had, they, you know, he might have gotten away with it.
Yeah, Aviva, I can't imagine how they nailed conviction in front of a liberal jury in D.C. with what they've showed us thus far. I don't think they have that at all. I can never imagine a jury being able to convict him. And then when you look at Massey's poll, which is, what, conservative and independent voters, and they're not buying it either. I don't think the FBI is going to be able, or the DOJ is going to be able to make any of this stick right now. So hopefully they do have something that is very, very obvious. But for the rest of us who don't trust the government and who don't, who looked at the criminal complaints, said this is a whole lot of maybe he did it, maybe he didn't, maybe he got this planted on him. I mean, there's a lot of questions here. We're going to keep asking those difficult questions. I know you are as well. So for our audience, make sure you head on over to his Rumble page and give him a follow if you're not doing so already. Viva Fry, one of the incredible shows over on Rumble. Thank you for joining me, my friend. It's always great to have you on.
Thank you very much for having me, Brianna. See you soon.
See you soon. All right, folks. In the meantime, we are doing an incredible sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. 40% off colostrum. As many of you guys know, we ran out of stock on colostrum. We got it back, and now it's 40% off, getting ready for the holidays. So head on over and make sure you stock up right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. And I also can't stop talking about this because I'm really excited about this. But we just got the creatine gummies. Now, they're in two different flavors over at the AlexJonesStore.com. We have the blue raspberry flavored and sour apple flavored. Head on over right now to the AlexJonesStore.com. Grab those before you run out because we will run out. If you are a female, no one probably told you that you have to take creatine. I learned very late in the game, but I'm telling you, it was a total, total game changer. And the fact that these are gummies is even better. So head on over and make sure you grab yourself some of these creatine gummies while supplies last as well. It's great for muscle support, as well as boosting your energy and brain function. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. All right, there's more happening. We'll have Mark Mitchell in just a moment, who's telling us that President Trump's approval numbers are just completely sinking right now. We'll go over that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Nicotinamide. Now that's a $1,000 word. But what it is the raw precursor of NAD. Now NAD energizes the entire body, cleans out the cells. It's amazing. But most people cannot absorb raw NAD. That's why you need the precursor, which this product has from organic form. But it has so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited to announce this new product, DNA Revival. This doesn't just have the precursor to NAD in it. It's got all the other organic compounds, you know, to clean out your cells, give you incredible energy with no letdown, and supercharge your overall health. Right now, you get this product out of the gates, massively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, all the products are incredible. They all work synergistically together. But I've got to tell you, Ultra DNA Revival is a game changer for everyone. Young people, works great for them. But particularly middle-aged and older folks will really feel the difference. Now, things like our ultramethylene blue hits in 15 to 20, 30 minutes. Okay? Our CMOS takes a week or so to build up. So does the bovine colostrum. Same thing with this. A week to 2 weeks, but within a month, 90%+ of people report incredible changes on every front. You need to go out and do your own research into NAD. You do your own research into all the ingredients that are in this product. And then realize, this is the private label of a nationwide bestseller that has the top reviews in the country. Most of the products at theoxygenstore.com, we didn't invent. We go out. What has the highest ratings? What's the most tested? What has the best reviews? They let us private label it, and we sell it to you. That way you get a great product at a competitive price, and you keep the show in the air. So take advantage of this new product right now, Ultra DNA Revival, at thealexjonesstore.com, and know that it funds the second American revolution worldwide. But if you don't get DNA Revival, you're really missing out. You owe it to yourself, your family, and your overall health to try this product. You can't lose. It funds the operation, and we know it really works. Here's some of the known effects this compound delivers. Noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes. Faster recovery and greater endurance. Sharper focus and mental clarity. Support for healthy blood sugar levels already in the normal range. Stronger immune function. Enhanced liver health and natural detoxification. Reduced everyday stress, anxiety, and protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And it just gets better from there. Ultra DNA Revival is the newest addition to thealexjonesstore.com, and we're extremely excited about it. If I could get a racehorse that had just won the Triple Crown and run it the next few races, I'd do it. It's that simple. And that's what I've done. If I could get Tom Brady at his peak to be my quarterback, I would. Well, that's how private labeling works. We go out to the top firms, the highest ratings, the best customer reviews, and we simply say, can we private label it? And in every case, they say, yeah, we can private label it. So it's not like we're reinventing the wheel. Whatever is the hottest, best reviews that people love, we go out and we get it. So when you get it, you love it. Well, that's what Ultra DNA Revival is all about. It's a private label, a best-selling brand that is simply amazing. You can empower your body, your immune system, your health, your clarity, your libido, your focus, and literally clean out your cells while at the same time funding this operation in the face of the globalists. That, my friends, is a 360 win at thealexjonesstore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on 5th Street.
I'm sick of that Newsom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, bat brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that Ultra DNA Revival!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off the final lap, third hour on this Monday edition of the show. A lot going on over here. It was great having Viva Fry on the program to detail, which I kind of have been going through in my head as to trying to understand who the J6 pipe bomber is. You know, the FBI, DOJ, they're trying to sell you on this 30-year-old autistic man. I won't see any solid evidence of that. And so it was good to have a conversation with him and go through all of that. But I want to switch gears over a little bit because I hate being a black pill. You all at home know that I try to be as optimistic as I can, but I'm also not going to lie to you. And I've been telling you guys the truth in regards to what I think is going on within the Trump administration for these last few weeks now. It's been very, very disappointing. And I'm glad to see that I'm not the only person feeling this way because, well, there's a new Rasmussen Reports poll out that highlights just that. And a lot of Americans, a lot of voters are not really siding with the president these days. Keep in mind, his approval rating was very, very high. And it's starting to tumble down right now. As of today, it looks like it's around 43%. But that's a massive, massive slide. So joining me to discuss is Mark Mitchell, the head pollster over at Rasmussen Reports. He's going to break all these numbers down for us, of course. All right, Mark, I'm going to let you take it away from here. It looks like right now on your website, he's about 43%. Help us understand that.
Yeah, you know, I've been saying for a lot of the last couple months, well, Trump's approval rating isn't that bad. It'll probably recover. And yet now I'm staring at a negative 12 net approval, and I'm not so sure anymore. I'm really not. Now, he hit this low in his first term a couple of times. He actually got down to a 38% approval rating, but it was when they were throwing Russian collusion at him 24/7 on MSNBC, and everybody was tuning in to Rachel Maddow, and everybody literally thought that Donald Trump was a Russian asset and they were going to pull him from the presidency. And that, you know, went away after about 6 or 7 months. People realized, well, it's kind of a hoax, and Donald Trump was starting to accomplish real things. The economy was starting to turn around. His approval rating recovered, and the last time it got to negative 12 was in May and June of 2020. Well, when was that? It was a few months into COVID. People weren't really happy with what was going on. And the summer of George Floyd riots. And in my opinion, probably a couple of optics that Donald Trump could have done better at back then. So this is not good. This is like he got way more votes. He had the right platform this time. He essentially got a mandate. And why are we looking at a negative 12 Trump approval rating? Now, I mean, there is some good news. We just did a generic ballot poll. Democrats are only up 3 points. You'd probably like to see Republicans winning, but history tells us they're not going to. And the fact that it's not a blue wave is probably a really good sign. But the really most troubling thing is that Donald Trump sequentially, we watched it happen. First, he lost his crossover Democrat supporters. Then around Epstein and bombing Iran, he lost his independents. He got down to a negative 22% independent approval rating. That's where he's at today. And most recently, over the last couple of weeks, he started to lose some of the Republican support. So Republicans had given him approval rating in the 80s with a strong approval rating of over 60% for most of this term. Well, his strong approval hit 53%, I think, 2 days ago, and his overall Republican approval is in the high 70s. And his right direction polling for Republicans is now in the mid-60s when it was lower 70s for most of the term. So just over the last couple of weeks, the effect has been Republicans are looking at this guy and saying, well, this isn't, you know, what I voted for. Things aren't going in the right direction. What's going on here? And I think it's fair to say, just looking at some of the stuff he said, he's been all over the map. Like, he's counter-signaling his base. He's trying to argue with reporters about whether there's an affordability crisis or not. It's just not the right look. And one of the things I tweeted is that America is not the same America it was 10 years ago. And we really need a wartime president right now. We really need somebody laser-focused on the core problems facing America. And I look at what he says, and I wonder if he even really understands what they are.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to go through this because I think this is really important, Mark. You know, I'm really frustrated. I've tried to hold back because I didn't want to blackpill our viewers. But when I saw him going after Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, I was ticked off because I knew that was divisive and that wasn't going to work over well for him. And just a couple of hours ago, posting another post about MTG, calling her a traitor, which, again, I don't think she is. I just think that you have this dispute over the Epstein stuff. But when you're sitting here and you're building up or you're trying to take down MTG and you're building up people like Senator Lindsey Graham and you're bringing him to all these events and you're giving him exclusive access to you, the American people see through that and they see it as garbage. I mean,
mean, people are really ticked off when you, and you keep mentioning it. I want to dig into it a little bit more, but the affordability issue, I keep hearing that they're not trying to do anything in regards to housing. I mean, that's a massive, massive loss. And it's why so many people my age and younger are turning to communists like Zohran Mamdani, because they're at least talking about housing because they understand that it's not affordable right now. There could be the foreign meetings that he's taking up right now with Saudi Arabia, Syria. I mean, all of these people who have it out for us, and he's bringing them to the Oval Office. And then Epstein, I mean, you keep bringing that up too. It's another bomb that I think that they really just kind of dropped in regards to fighting back on the Epstein stuff. I mean, it was a campaign promise. He was the one who started it. Democrats did politicize it, yes. But to sit here and call it a hoax doesn't sit well with voters.
No, he's completely lost his game and is out of touch. And I only think I can blame the isolation of the White House and who he's surrounded himself with. I went there 3 weeks ago. I told Alex about it.
Yeah.
But I talked to him for 45 minutes. He did most of the talking. But out of that 45 minutes, 10 minutes was spent about how great a golfing outing that he had with Lindsey Graham and how he loves how much Lindsey Graham plays golf. And I just don't think he understands that a lot of his base look at Lindsey Graham and look at him like this kind of like three-horned demon of neoconservative bloodlust. And not only that, Lindsey Graham has apparently been one of these really long-time supporters of big businesses and their H-1B scam that they used to sell out American workers. So when you see Donald Trump counter-signaling his base on H-1Bs, I can only suspect that it's people like Lindsey Graham who are whispering that stuff in his ear, and that's not helpful at all. And we actually talked about the housing market, and one of the things he said was like, well, you know, there's so many people that want to, you know, that we can't endanger the value of people's housing. It's like, well, it's probably coming down whether you want it to or not. And at the end of the day, it would really help a lot of people. And we polled on that. You know, a majority of Americans think the housing market is in a bubble. And almost everybody said it would be better for them if the housing market's value, the housing values were lower than if they stayed higher. And so, you know, who's he surrounded with? Who's telling him that the house values need to stay up? Well, it's either people who are super concerned about their like multi-billionaire hedge funds and they don't want to take a loss, or it's people who are home builders, like the guy that he put in charge of housing in the US. Like, these are the problems. And I ultimately said, it's like, you know, you said a lot of stuff on the campaign stump. There was a lot of fight, 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 but there was never like, okay, fight, 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 what? It shouldn't be fight, 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 Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Mm-hmm.
It should be fight, fight, fight for Americans and rebuilding what he promised, the American dream, the golden age, and also draining the swamp government accountability. And he needs to be single threaded on that. And he's not. And when he's even the stuff he's like, okay, he's moving the Overton window right on immigration and the fraud and the migration and all the stuff happening in Somalia. That's great. Mm-hmm. But when he just attacks Ilhan Omar on Truth Social, it looks kind of impotent. Like, he owns the government. Do something about that. And that's one of the things I think the younger people want. I think they want these folks rolled up yesterday. I was watching Asmund Gold and he was like, why are we still talking about Ilhan Omar? It's been years. Denaturalize and deport. Like, how hard is this?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like talking about it anymore, because we all know what happened here. We all know that there's marriage fraud, and yet he continues to do it as a comical joke. But you run all of this. I mean, you would be the one in charge of this. Deport our problems. Get rid of her. Send a tone. Set the message. Send the tone. Get rid of these people who have completely defrauded the system and are only sent to this country to destroy it, because there's so many of them. Even bringing Zohran Mamdani into the White House. I mean, everyone told me that, oh, Brianna, this is like 4D chess. You just don't understand it. And I'm sitting here watching and I'm like, there's nothing behind this. There's no actual strategy here besides getting him into the White House and maybe making him a little nervous. But that's about it. I mean, there was nothing else there. I don't want to see him in the Oval Office. Our enemies are the ones that sent him to this country. They had this plotted back in 2014 before he was even a U.S. citizen. So yeah, I'm not going to be so happy when I have to sit back and watch this, but this is what gets me kind of under my skin. And I know you guys have this latest poll up right now on your website as well in regards to the tariffs. He's proposing floating a $2,000 refund payment due to the amounts of money that's been kind of brought in through these tariffs, which sounds good. But truthfully, I mean, this is what we criticize Democrats about. Throwing money out there doesn't go well. It never really does. But you guys have just polled, and according to those who have taken this poll, 62% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's proposal to give $2,000 in refund payments to low and middle income households. Now, that would be funded by the tariffs, of course, but I don't think people understand the long-term ramification of just getting money and just dishing it out as a member of the federal government at this point.
Well, I mean, they kind of do, because if you look at the second question, right? Mm-hmm. So we asked, okay, do you want a $2,000 check? And of course, Americans are going to say yes. And it was, like you said, a really high majority. But, and especially Republicans. Republicans really like it. And a lot of that is because it has the word Trump in it. But if you look at the independents, and these are people who are going to be younger and more hurting financially, only 54% of them want it and 34% don't. So it's not like buying vote levels of popularity. But the next question, instead of using tariff revenue to give refund payments, would it be better to use that revenue to reduce the federal budget deficit? And then people say yes, 45% to 29%. It's like, no, actually, thanks for the offer, but government, you need this more than us. You used it. We literally found that signal in the poll. It's unbelievable. Republicans are most likely to say that, 49 to 26. And you know what I mean? At this point, it's like, what are we even doing? That's not what people voted for Trump. When you promise the American dream and then you say no, don't talk to me about affordability. And then your White House puts out tweets that say we're already in the American dream. And then you say, well, no, but here's a check. It's just not good enough. And that's why I think that this is ultimately a crisis of leadership, because we do have good people in the administration. People can attack Tom Homan all they want. I think he's doing a phenomenal job. I think 2.2 million people out of this country is an incredible start. We're going to have more of that. Lady in charge of the DOL, everything that she says, bang on, like keep going. Sue all these companies, you know, hold them accountable for abusing these systems. I think Scott Bessent's doing a good job. Like I think a lot of these people are doing a good job. Pete Hegseth is the exact person that we need in that job doing the exact right thing. He needs to single-mindedly focus the military on killing people and breaking things, period. A weapon that is pointed by Congress or the president, depending on where we're at, right? But the problem is that there's no unified front here. These people are taking flak. Donald Trump should be giving them air cover, not like throwing misdirection out there and counter signaling people. And it's like, no, we need a wartime president who understands that this is an attack against a conservative movement that's trying to reform government and the capitalist system. And it's like, well, he kind of is sort of plugged into the oligarchy right now. And I said this in the White House. I said, sir, you need to smash the oligarchy and not be the oligarchy. And it was incredible. Susie like lit up immediately. She's like, oh, that's good. We got, that's right. And I don't think that hit home. And I can only surmise that it's the people who he's talking with or whatever, but there needs to be a real plan. And I applaud them, delegating affordability to Scott Bessent, I really do. But I think, again, he'll do a good job. I know he's out there talking to people and putting things together. But it's like you promised a golden age. People need to see a path about how we are going to get there. Scott Bessent can't do that all himself.
Yeah, he can't. And, you know, it's all these contradictions too. You know, immigration, I think, is one of the president's strongest angles, points to all of this, though. He's done a great job on that. DHS, Kristi Noem, I think, is doing a good job too over there. She's got a great team of people working behind her. But, you know, he struck a lot of people the wrong way when he went out there and announced this plan to bring in 600,000 Chinese students, what they call them, but they're actually CCP spies. And I want to keep highlighting that, not using the same verbiage as they want us to use. But, and you guys recently polled on this too, and 43% of likely U.S. voters support the proposal, which I thought was kind of concerning in all of this. What did you make away from all of this?
Well, this is like another one of those things where you run the top line poll and, okay, you could get the result you want. And this is what most people in Washington, D.C., and they do it, for instance, with H-1Bs too. If you just say, well, should we take people who are talented from the rest of the world? People are like, oh, yeah, sure, we should do that. But then if you actually like dig into the underlying thing, you're like, well, it's probably going to get abused. Like people, if they learn more about it, probably don't like it. First thing that stood out to me is that, yes, it was split. It was basically 43 to 44. But there was no party signal at all, which is weird because we also said that it was a Trump thing. And so normally when you do that, the Republican numbers are off the chart, but Republicans, only 44% of them supported this. Only 15% strongly supported. And, you know, I think, again, I'm the kind of person that might be, you know, pushing back on this. I was in higher education and We certainly had a CCP asset in our learning team at Wharton. And the way that this works is that over there, if you're ambitious and you're climbing the ladder and you're going to go to the U.S. to attend a school, you're almost certainly a part of the CCP. Like, you can literally ask the AI, like Grok will tell you that 30-40% of the people probably coming over here are card-carrying members, like literally have it on their resume or whatever. But then we said, okay, well, Trump has said that the number of Chinese students were reduced. Many colleges would go out of business. Should the number of Chinese students be reduced, even if it causes some colleges to go out of business? Mm-hmm. Because he said to Laura Ingraham, well, we can't have these colleges going out of business, while there was riots at a Turning Point USA event in Berkeley at the same time on TV. And people say yes, 39% to 37%. Republicans say yes, 58% to 24%. So Republicans are over 2-1, like well over 2-1 in favor of seeing colleges shut down if it means reducing the number of Chinese students. And this gets back to, again, all of these policies that he's pushing. He has done good. And you can tell that somebody somewhere in the administration knows what they're supposed to be doing. But this is a bailout for colleges. Let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. And you know what else? I was doing some research. His H-1B fee. Now, I think Project Firewall is great. They're going to go after like the H-1B program that is stealing the very best jobs that Americans have. In my opinion, this is like the top three thing that is screwing over people under 40. And it's something that Donald Trump should understand, which I don't think he does. He should understand this more than anything else, especially because it appears increasingly that his administration's ties with India are going to be under more scrutiny. But when they came out with that fee, a lot of people said, oh my God, like Donald Trump is actually going to go after H-1Bs. But if you look at the fine print, what it does is that it carves out the student path for the visas. And so all it really is doing is it's taking all these people from India who would just come straight over, charging a fee on them so that they get pushed through the school system. So literally what you're going to see next week, next year when this fee kicks in is you're just going to see a bunch of increase in applications to Cracker Jack master's degree mills in the U.S. And quite frankly, it'll probably be even harder for some U.S. students to get into STEM programs because they're going to be flooded with Indians who are coming over here so they don't have to pay the fee. And that gets back to the third question that student set. Should qualified American high school students get a priority for admissions over foreign students? Like, how hard is this? Yeah. And the answer is yes, 71% to 17%. So it's just weird. He's out there signaling the right things, moving the Overton window right. The guy tweeted about Hart Celler, and yet he's doing and saying all of these things. It's like he's not even the person putting his Truth Social posts out. He can't keep moving the Overton window right and then governing by moving it left. It's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the people are catching on to it too. I think that's where a lot of these frustrations come from, Mark. And it's really just, it's frustrating to sit back and watch. And I don't see much getting done. And I actually just found this one, and I know I didn't give you a heads up on this one, but this was on your website. So I'll lay it out now, but, you guys actually just put up a poll last week and this one's really, really good. In regards to election fraud, the president saying, again, this was a top priority for him. I haven't seen anything done to combat the election fraud that's taking place. But this one specifically is about the voting machines and whether or not Americans trust it. And interesting enough, 63% of likely U.S. voters are concerned with the electronic voting systems may allow votes to be changed remotely through the internet connections during voting. I mean, that's a massive, massive number. And again, he's not even touching this issue. Now, I don't understand why we're not touching it. Tina Peters trying to sound the alarm on all of this, and she's still sitting right now in state prison in Colorado. And sadly, all he does is post Truth Social posts about free Tina Peters, but they're not pulling any federal funding from Colorado. They're not really trying to put Colorado state officials' feet to the fire on freeing Tina Peters. They're just throwing it out there, and nothing's being done about the election machines either. What do you make of it?
Yeah, 100%. And then we also have a massive naval flotilla surrounding Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's, we haven't really polled on Venezuela. The numbers aren't out yet. I think we're getting them back today. Yeah. I don't know if that's what's necessarily affecting his approval rating, but if it were, you know, there's a really easy solution, and that is tie it to election integrity. If it really is about election integrity, tie it to election integrity, because we've polled on this. We're the only ones at all that polled on this, and it got us on a CIA list, right? And we've done dozens and dozens of these question sets, and they've proved overwhelmingly that Americans actually do believe the big lie that our elections are completely corrupt and they don't trust the machines at all. They think they're connected to the internet. That's not a good thing when the actual companies that administer these things say that they're incapable of them. And so when you have this kind of cognitive dissonance, this complete lie, this where the system says, no, it's this way. And everybody in America is like, no, we're pretty sure you're just full of crap. Like these things need to be resolved. And this is what's happening everywhere. Every single federal agency was corrupted under the Biden administration. And this is, I've been harping on this. We need to see brutal government reform that includes the election systems. Mm-hmm. But you have everybody out there like attacking Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. Well, you haven't reformed the FBI guys. And they say, well, look at all this stuff we tweeted. Well, I just did a poll and 83% of Trump voters still think the FBI and CIA and other government agencies need major reforms. Mm. So whatever they've put out, it hasn't been enough. And that includes with elections. But the weird thing is that Donald Trump will still tweet impotently about Tina Peters being in jail. Well, it's like I've seen many, many measures in our polling that people are kind of like done with following the rules. Like we have lots of people ready to impeach judges, arrest people involved in Arctic Frost, arrest people in the auto pen scandal. We had a pretty big signal of people who wanted to like ignore judges, including people under 40. We even have people under 40 who are ready to give governance over to an advanced AI. Like that's kind of where we're at right now. And the true socials are not helping it. And I think it's going to emerge potentially as people getting to a point where they're willing to call it a pattern of Donald Trump jangling the keys. And that would be a really horrible place because I don't know how you can rebuild the momentum, recover your approval rating if there's that kind of like emperor with no clothes moment. And that's what I'm afraid of because I think this movement's important. I think it needs to continue, but there needs to be better leadership.
Yeah, and Mark, we're less than a year in, so I guess there is time for a turnaround. I just don't see that there is desire for a turnaround. We do see reports that in the new year, this is mainstream reports, so I don't really trust it, but they say that there's going to be some type of big changes taking place. We saw Andrew Bailey get shifted over to the FBI as a position that we never seen brought on before, the co-deputy director. And so according to people who have reached out to me, that's because he's going to be preparing to take over at the AG's office for Pam Bondi. But again, I mean, you know, the president just kind of not pushing back enough and pushing back on key issues. I mean, when his picks aren't getting confirmed by Senate Republicans, he was so kind and just said, oh, well, it's going to cost me too much political capital. But then whenever he had the option to go after, you know, Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene, he went after her with all full force, calling her a traitor. And so now we have all these softies, including Pam Bondi, who I sat there and watched her confirmation hearing and said, ooh, well, they're not really pushing back much on Pam Bondi, which probably isn't a good sign. And, you know, Kash Patel also, I would say, had it pretty easy getting confirmed as well. For me, that was the clear indicator that this wasn't going to work out. And I was a little worried, but I mean, now we're several months into this and the changes that need to happen, Mark, aren't happening. And we just had a press conference last week where they all took turns tapping each other on the back and saying, great job. But they didn't show us any actual hard evidence. And then I was told when I reached out, like, how did you get to this suspect? Talk about the J6 pipe bomber. I'm reading through the criminal complaint. How did you go to map out his data to go find out where he was, pin his cell phone down? And they said, oh, more evidence coming, but there was no evidence that was revealed.
What about the 300 federal agents? What about all those agents that were there that probably still work for the FBI? Mm-hmm. Nobody gives a crap about the pipe bomber. J6 was a psyche, a scar on the psyche of America. Yeah. Like it was a really messed up psychological operation that needs to be reverted. And we've lost an entire year on this. You could say the Trump administration has got another 3 years. I don't think it does at all. Mm-hmm. I'm looking around and again, looking at a Democrat plus three generic ballot, it's probably as good as you can expect. And I don't know if that's enough for Republicans to win. I think Republicans actually could win in this environment if they did stuff. But you can already see the establishment knives are out. I mean, all of these, you know, like Reagan this and like DeSantis is posting really rational stuff like right now. The establishment is going to reassert itself and the political capital is going to be gone. But if he wants to win again, it's got to be like it was back in February and March. And that is literally us waking up in a cold sweat every morning trying to keep up with the frantic news because everything's coming crashing down. Yeah. That's what it's got to be, and it's not right now.
It's not right now. Mark Mitchell, thank you for all the incredible work you do at Rasmussen Reports. We appreciate you, as always, taking all of the polling questions that we want to know more about and breaking it down for us on our show. So thank you, Mark. All right, folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's 40% off colostrum while supplies last for the next few hours, so make sure you go there right now. Alex is up next on The Alex Jones Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Ooh, 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 ooh.